welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Yes, indeedy, deedy, deed. 866-901-ADAM. How say you? That's what we're establishing every morning. First up, first out of the gate, first out of the blocks. First, well, not only up at plate, but on deck as well. Your calls, any topic, any subject. All right. Good morning, Teresa Strasser.
Good morning, Adam Carolla.
Good morning, Bald Brian.
Yo!
It's like a coach scripting his plays for the Super Bowl. You always know what you're going to do for the first portion of the show.
Yeah, speaking of that, I'm not sure.
I'll get your prediction
later. I was going to say vote, but I meant bet on this. As I said, I run up a tab with Jimmy's cousin Sal, and then at the end of the year, I usually break even by picking the right team for the Super Bowl. I like to think the Giants were going to keep it close, but on the other hand, the Pats have been stabbing me in the heart the entire season, and the reason I'm down $1,100 is because I took them to cover early in the season. So,
get the Cowboys?
No, what I did is I said, I'm going to take, people forget,
it was a big
by
game.
The way, people keep talking about, the Ravens almost beat the Pats. The Giants almost beat the Pats. The Colts were up 20-10 the Pats.
Yeah.
Everyone else was kind of hanging on and hanging around. The Colts were up 20-10, and somewhere in the beginning of the fourth quarter, it seemed like, the Colts, the reigning Super Bowl champion. I mean, the only one who you could mention in the same breath is the Patriots somewhere in the early to middle part of the season were the Colts. The full first part of the season, it was like, the Pats are 7-0, but the Colts are 6-1.
It was Pats and Colts.
Pats and Colts, and sometimes even Colts and Pats. Mm-hmm. So then when the Pats went to face off with the Colts and the Colts were up 20-10, it was like, gentlemen, I think we can safely say that the team that won the Super Bowl last year might even be better than the almighty Pats. Mm. And then they won. Now, what I did is I took the Pats and gave away the points to the Colts.
And I've been killing everyone at that point.
Right. And I remember halfway through the game or three quarters of the game thinking, all right, I lost the bet, but at least the Colts have beaten the Pats. No such luck. The Pats won, and I lost the bet.
You know, the thing is
Tom Brady. Now we come to the last game of the year, and I think it'll be a very fitting bow put on this package with the fecal matter in it, known as the Ott 7 football season, with the Pats dominating everybody. If I take the Giants and my 12 points or so, and then the Pats beat the spread on that one, I will have lost a big bet in the middle of the season where they didn't cover, and then it'll put a nice little crap capper on the end of the season. When the Pats beat the spread, I'm out $2,500, and they've gone 19-0.
Strangely fitting.
Or 18-0.
Let me ask you this.
Going.
Is there a come down at the end of the Super Bowl? That's the end of football for the year.
Yes, there is. And it all depends on how your life is going. I'm very busy these days and have the twins and so on and so forth.
You're two Lamborghinis.
And, yeah. Why?
Just making sure I knew.
Oh, okay.
Meant.
I thought it was clear. Point is, hey, Kit from Knight Rider. Yeah, young Kit. So,
things are good.
I got
now.
Stuff going. Yeah, when you don't have stuff going, it's like when someone dumps you. When somebody dumps you and you have a ton of things going, as a matter of fact, you don't get dumped, ironically, when you have a ton of stuff going. But when someone dumps you and you have a ton of stuff going in your life, it stings, but you get right past it. When you go back to your crappy apartment, your crappy job, your crappy pickup truck with no air conditioning or window cranks, and the season's over, it's devastating. Most of the times in your life, people, that you have been devastated has less to do with the circumstance under which you were devastated and more to do with the totality of your life.
Right. Mm.
The person that dumped you, think back on them. Not the greatest in the world. Hell, maybe not even good. But any port in a storm, it's all you had. If half the relationships I've had in my life had ended, and I say half, I mean probably all, had ended now, no problemo. As a matter of fact, awesome. So I'm going to get in that Lamborghini, and I'm going to get laid.
That's right.
All right. Let's see. Someone wants to talk about our reenactment yesterday. Nick?
Yeah, Adam. How's it going?
What's happening, Nick?
Good. Good morning, Adam. Good morning, Teresa.
Hey,
Paul
Nick.
Brian.
Hello.
I heard the caller calling yesterday, and she said she was offended by the reenactment. But mm-hmm. I have to say, that is the funniest thing I've heard you guys do.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you.
Thanks. He's talking about the reenactment we did about the woman who microwaved her baby in a drunken
stupor. Allegedly.
It's unclear. She might have been... She might have been trying to heat up the formula, and she got confused.
Mm-hmm. Maybe eating the formula half an hour earlier.
Let me tell you something. Thank you, Nick. Although I agreed with her. We were having a laugh over someone's demise. But I will say this.
That's how we do.
that's right. We'll grieve our own way. We'll do funny improvisational sketches about people dying. I, being an atheist, have tons of shades of gray in my life. This is why I don't think abortion is murder, for instance. I don't like when people do the sweeping stuff. I don't think I'll play both sides here. I'll piss off the left and the right.
All right.
I don't think abortion is murder. And I don't think the reason the chick is pregnant, meaning her drunken boyfriend of 3 years rolled on top of her in the middle of the night when he was horny, I don't think that's rape. So there you go. Why? Well, I believe in shades of gray. Maybe there's a dusting of rape, a sprinkling of rape, maybe
dash.
Technically something, but it by no means is the chick jogging on the beach and the gangbangers do it at knife point. That's
You've always said rape is a spectrum crime. There's your dark alley rape, and then there's your drunken boyfriend in the middle of the night rape.
And so is tragedy, and so is death. Spontaneously abort in the first trimester, sad.
Different than your 18-year-old dying in a drunk driving accident.
Oh, he was coming home from grad night with his beautiful girlfriend, and he was on his way to Stanford, and they're both going to Stanford, and he gets clipped by a illegal alien drunk driver who had 4 DUI arrests. You know what I'm saying?
Same thing as the morning after pill.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that to me is tragic. And this person that was put in this microwave 1 month old.
Yeah.
Which to me, bad and sad, but not a 2-year-old. I don't know why. Sad and bad, but not, there's a difference between coming online.
Absolutely.
I don't know when you become an entire person. Oh, wait a minute. I know. I used to say this. Now it's become antiquated. Life begins when you learn how to program the VCR. If you can't do that, technically you're not a person.
Would you make it a TiVo now?
Yeah, when you know your way around the TiVo. Yeah, when
that's
you can handle a TiVo or woman, technically that's when you become a human being.
In your religion, that's the bar mitzvah.
That's right. And I imagine these days, somewhere around 7, 8 years old, the kid could figure out a TiVo.
Anything
before that.
Could. Yeah.
Yeah. Anything before. Well, they have a great genetic a TiVo hand dealt to them. They're half Corolla. So they're haunchy people who can point. You know what I mean? Genetically bred for sitting around.
And pointing
at stuff. Yeah. Nobody. As I've said, people brag about their prowess at performing oral.
Right.
Nobody receives like the Corollas.
You're the best at it.
My father was great. I saw him in his prime many times. Grandfather, Giacomo Corolla, all the greats.
When it comes to receiving
anything, nobody beats a Corolla. We're not good if you need to move or you need a bridge built or some,
life lessons taught to you.
Skyscraper erected or some crap like that. Look, if there's something going on over there in Darfur and somebody needs to be bailed out, Corolla's not your people. Well, we don't got a lot of money, we don't got a lot of time, and we're not much with small arms and things like that. We don't rappel. We don't do special ops stuff. But sitting and pointing at stuff, oh, man. And possibly receiving oral while we're sitting and pointing.
Oh, great.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's a gift.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. All right, let's talk to Rob. Rob?
Yeah, hi, Adam.
How say you?
Hey, I wanted to let you know you inspired me to kind of follow up an idealistic dream I had as a younger man.
Mm-hmm.
You were talking about the giant burning orb in the sky on these hot summer days.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't we use that to power our air conditioners? And I went ahead and I got solar panels.
Ah, nice. Yeah, the technology is marching forward. And as I've complained many times, you know, I have a long list of why I know we're stupid. Well, I guess we do that thing where we say stupid or liar on this show.
Right.
I will pose something to our government and I'll call it stupid or corrupt. because we've been aware of this solar power thing for 30 years. The technology's come online in the last few years, yet you see whole apartment buildings being built and centers, business centers being built with big old flat roofs just painted black and nary a solar panel on it. Now, we have a code, and the reason it drives me nuts is because I build. And we have a goddamn code for everything. Everything. Yet, we can't stub out a few electrical panels, a few solar panels up top on the roof. Hey, Rob?
Yeah?
Is that your solar panel? What's going on?
That's my dog barking, activating my extension doorbell that's sound activated.
Yeah, the extension doorbell, I just bought one of those, by the way. And the problem is it only works when you're standing next to the doorbell pushing the button. The wireless doorbell, you mean?
No, there's a kind of a low-tech extender. There's a little sensor that you put next to your normal ringing doorbell.
Mm-hmm. This is damn exciting stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Wirelessly transmits it to another ringer.
Ah,
just
I see.
Dynamite.
Hey, Rob.
Yes.
Good times with the solar power. Thanks for taking care of business. And by the way, I have a situation I've said before. I wanted, and here's the other thing that's retarded about this horrible government of ours. I looked into getting solar power at my house, and the guy said, yeah, you got a little problem. And I said, what's the problem? And he said, well, you have a gate. I said, yeah. And he said, you need an external shutoff outside of the gate. And I said, how come? And they said, that's a safety thing for the Department of Water and Power, so it doesn't get a surge from your solar whatever. And I said, oh. And he said, but it's built into the solar box processor, and in 49 other states, they don't require it.
It's a case of a supernova.
And I said, yeah. I said, well, why do we need it here? And he said, I don't know. It's one of those California things. And I said, yeah, but it's built into the box. And they said, yeah. And I said, it's good in, I don't know, 47 other states. And they said, yeah, they don't require it. I said, well, can't we just get on the same page or decide whether it's dangerous or not? Nah, that's what they want here. Oh, well, so what's the deal then? Well, you'd have to run a 2-inch conduit 3-foot deep in the ground from the solar thing to outside of the gate. It's a deal breaker for most people. I said, so we'd have to dig a trench from the back of the house to the front of the house and get on the other side of the gate so we could put some sort of external shutoff valve that's unnecessary? And they said, yeah. Yeah, that's the law. And I said, all right. And he said, yeah, there's a lot of people who want to go solar, but they can't do it. Or they're unwilling to do the external shutoff, whatever. People that have houses that have gates. I said, oh, all right. And then I called the solar whatever because they have a thing where they go, hey, the government will pay for half of, or the state of California will pay for half of whatever the price is of the solar thing via some sort of rebate thing, some sort of incentive thing. And I talked to them and they're like, yeah, we've suspended that. We're out of that. Fantastic.
Wow,
you guys are going sick. You know what? You really, you know, you always talk about what the government isn't doing and what the mayor isn't doing and what the city isn't doing when you run over a pothole. But then you hear stories like this and you're inspired. You a-holes do nothing. And that's the problem. And again, I say corrupt or stupid. Has Big Oil just shut this stuff down? Like, I know, has Edison shut this stuff down? I mean, I know there's nothing in it for Edison for you to get off the grid.
Right.
In other words,
yeah.
Just like there's nothing in it for Exxon for you to get off the pump. And I feel like there's been a lot of foot dragging because of that. We're California, for the love of Christ, everybody. This isn't Bangladesh, and we're not in Indiana. You know, we're not in one of the red states, and we're not somewhere in some impoverished village somewhere. It's effing California. We're supposed to be on the vanguard of this crap. We're supposed to be the tip of the spear of all the technologies, and especially all the green technologies. You drive around Los Angeles. It's the second biggest city in the country. How much solar do you see? And how much sun do we get here compared to other places? That's how lazy and stupid we are. And that's why, and I don't even know who to blame, but I just blame the mayor. I blame him. And I blame Villaraigosa, and I blame Schwarzenegger, too.
Both of them.
The governor and the mayor. Well, obviously, it's not job one. Like, let's just put it this way. Job one, put your seatbelts on.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Everyone's hip to that, right?
Oh, sure.
How much solar power conversation do you hear coming out of the government or this city? How many? You ever hear Mayor Villaraigosa say anything about it? Is it ever discussed? Does it seem like there's any kind of push whatsoever for it?
He might have said it in the ear of the Telemundo reporter he was on
right,
top of.
When he was banging that chick from Telemundo, he said it, right.
Well, why don't we take a 5-minute break?
And, you know, there's stupid, there's evil, and then there's bureaucratic quagmire when it comes to dealing with the city and pulling permits. And
right, but the bureaucratic quagmire always never seems to suffer when it comes to tossing up a bunch of cameras at a bunch of intersections to hand out a bunch of chicken-ass tickets.
Also, very easy to pay your ticket. You ever had to pay your ticket over the phone? It takes 5 minutes.
Oh, absolutely. Look, here's the deal. I, once at the DMV, they didn't send me the right thing, or they sent me one license plate instead of two, or they screwed up, in other words. So you call them up and you go, all right, we need to handle it. So you got to come down. You got to come down and get in line. How, what? You guys screwed up. You got to come down and get in line. Why do I got to come down and get in line if you guys didn't send me the right thing and you guys screwed up? Hey, that's the way it is. But you owe them money? Hey, you just swipe your credit card on your ass crack and it's done.
We'll be right.
So easy.
Someone wants to ask Brian how he lost his weight. Someone wants to ask me how to find a therapist. And someone wants to ask you for a personal motto.
Okay.
We'll be right back.
Let's take a break. I'm just saying, you guys all have the right to be outraged. You really do. This city, your city, wherever you are, we could have been leaps and bounds ahead of where we are when it comes to solar technology, not creating the greenhouse, whatever. And that's all we do is talk. But do we do anything? Where's the incentive? You don't think we could do this? You don't think we have the technology? All right. But it just makes me... That's right. The $6 million man. All we do is talk about tickets and clicking it and secondhand smoke, and that's it. That's it. And not letting any kids behind. We'll take ourselves a break. We'll answer the rest of your questions next.
It's the Adam Carolla Show. Here's what's coming up this morning with program director Jack Silver.
Gotta get through this quick, peeps. Jack Man's off to Panama with his buddies for a little R&R. Rip and reach arounds. Today, the star of the new horror flick, The Eye, Jessica Alba, musician Lisa Lowe, comedian Aisha Tyler, for me's the soup, Joel McHale, NFL Hall of Famer John Elway, and we get ready for Super Sunday with our own big game, the Wing Bowl. Four fat guys, a bottomless bucket of chicken, and a good chance of some vomiting. In other words, just another Friday night at Teresa's place. Late.
Thank you, Jack. 866-901-ADAM. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
All right. Many of your calls to get to, so let's get started. Greg?
Yes, good morning, Adam.
You'd like to heap praise on the show?
Excuse me?
You'd like to compliment me and my show?
Oh, yes, I would love to, but first I would like to comment on the fact that the website, the political website, told you that you align most closely politically to Mitt Romney.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about the quiz we took from USA Today, I think.
The quiz you took, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that I think that's really funny, Adam.
Yeah, here's the thing about most things in life. Maybe we just were not there technologically. It reminds me one time me and Jimmy were in Vegas and they did one of those things where they go into this booth, take a picture of both parents or both boyfriend and girlfriend or both whatever. And then a composite of what your child would look like would come out.
That's cute. So you did you and Jimmy's child?
So me and Jimmy both went in to see what a composite of our child would look like.
How's that?
And a fat kid with 3 days of growth came out that looked almost exactly like Jimmy. And I said, oh, I see. This is nonsense. I don't think I'm voting for Mitt Romney. I am not a huge fan of his, although I haven't fully investigated him yet. I know that Teresa's not going to be voting for John McCain. Thus, what do these things tell you? Now, maybe they're telling you you should vote for John McCain.
I'm open to it. I'm actually undecided.
It's not exactly a science, but anyway.
Adam, can I say one thing?
Yes.
I think I know what it tells you.
Hold on.
You need to convert to Mormonism.
I'm waiting.
All right, Greg. Thank you.
You need to convert to Mormonism.
Okay. How high are you, Greg? Greg, you are mushroom high. You're not even pot brownie high.
Hash high?
I'm actually just drinking coffee and getting ready to go to work.
Right. Mm. With pot floating in it? All right. Where are we? Sorry, T. Who'd you want to talk to? Bald Brian. How did he lose the weight?
Yeah, line 5.
Line 5.
Everyone wants to know.
How much did you lose, Bald Brian?
55 pounds from my heaviest.
When I met Bald Brian, he was fat with a huge head of hair. No, he was bald and fat.
Good combination.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you do?
Oh, sorry, Frank's there. I thought he wanted to ask. Who cares?
Frank?
Yeah?
Yeah, you want to know how Bald Brian lost his weight?
Yeah, go ahead and ask the question again.
Yeah.
All right.
You all know the question. So, Adam has very insightful methods into losing weight. Adam, what are they again?
Stop eating so goddamn much. Mm-hmm. Look, those of you who drink 9 non-dietetic sodas a day, perhaps you should cut that out. Perhaps you should cut out the fast food and the junk. Everybody over 10 years of age knows the rule. If it tastes good, it's probably bad for you. If it sucks, it's probably good for you. And it can be the same food. Fried chicken, awesome. Poached chicken breast, skinless, tasteless, and horrible. Which one do you think is good for you?
I did all the simple things that you hear every day. I haven't eaten fast food in years. I stopped eating fast food. I haven't drank a regular soda. I drink only diet soda. I mean, simple things. I start exercising a little bit more. I started cooking for myself as opposed to eating out. And, mm-hmm. Cut down on refined sugar and saturated fat.
I'll tell you the other thing, too. Yeah, it's... Again, I don't know why one, you go over the year, it's like 07, best-selling books on New York Times list, 8 of them are diet books. Really? We haven't done the McDonald's versus the, poached asparagus math. If it's green, you eat it.
And eat more often during the day, just smaller portions. Handful of almonds here and, crackers there. And next thing you know, your metabolism's working overtime.
I'll give you guys, that is the one thing that people don't know about. A handful every couple hours, 2-3 hours, eat something.
And eat right away in the morning.
And eat some protein, too, with those little snacks. And the little protein things they do, for instance... you can eat almonds, but you should eat the raw ones. Or you could eat cashews, but eat the raw ones.
Unsalted is the best way to go with the,
yeah,
with the nuts.
And raw, too, because when they bake them, it does something to them. It turns the whatever into whatever. So, pretty straightforward stuff. We all know how it goes. Do not drink the Coke. Drink the Diet Coke. Do not eat...
Cutting out the soda will do wonders for... If anyone... people ask me every once in a while, it's like, man, how'd you lose the weight? I want to lose some weight. It's like, stop drinking soda, move to diet soda, and that's a third of the battle right there.
Right. So, don't starve yourself. Start exercising. And the main thing to do is not look at it as a diet. Look at it as a lifestyle. Because a diet, it's like every guy I know who went on the Atkins diet. I'm going to cut out carbs. For your whole life, you're 31.
Yeah.
You don't think you're ever going to eat a bowl of pasta again? And by the way,
realistic.
Yeah, you eating the brisket wrapped in steak is not going to be very good for your heart a few years from now. So look, little lifestyle thing. And by the way, I'm on a diet right now. I'm trying to lose a few pounds, but come Super Bowl Sunday, I'm going to pound between 14 and 21 beers over Kimmel and eat 17 slabs of pizza that come out of his oven. It's Super Bowl Sunday. I'm getting my booze and my pizza on.
That's the thing that drives people crazy is when they think they're on a diet is denying themselves all those things that make them happy. Next thing you know, you break your diet and you're off doing whatever.
Right. And
just allow yourself those indulgences every once in a while.
Right. But Monday morning for breakfast, couple of poached eggs and an orange, not, bacon and, country gravy and hash browns. That's it. All right. Let's see. Find a therapist. Is that what you want to talk
John,
to, T?
On line 3.
All right. Let's talk to Mike on line 1. Mike?
Yes, sir.
What's happening, Mike?
Good morning. Hi, Teresa.
Hi. How are you?
Great. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I get the impression that one does not have to press you very hard, Adam, to get an opinion.
You're that nerd.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Nice.
I'm at a loss for words.
I don't know about that.
Mike, what's your question?
Here's the question I have. Do you need an actual problem in order to offer your opinion or advice? Or can you say, hey, you know what? If you're going to be successful in life, you've got to do these 1, 2, 3 things.
Well, I'm not sure exactly what you're asking. Everything reminds me of something. I will say that. But do I just... Yeah, I can't help but dispense advice in any situation, and it's oftentimes just at the TV set. There's no ears in the room. Would you like some personal advice, Mike?
Well, no, not actually. I'm just curious. If you go to a bookstore and you go to, you know, say the personal development that
books.
Used to be.
Hold on a second. They have the house that hides the books.
Right, the library. They allow you to check out books.
Well, you say hide. Yeah, you pretend like hides, but, you know, there's barely any windows in those places.
It's like a Blockbuster for books.
Yeah, but a Blockbuster has signs and things that flash and parking and stuff like that. You take a look at a library. Take a look at the posture, the color, the architecture. They're saying, please leave us alone.
Imagine a Netflix for books,
yeah.
But in a building.
Yeah, but... Okay, but what I'm saying is, it is true about a library. A library knows they don't make any money. All they have is a bunch of hobos who are reading the newspaper on that giant wicker cane and defecating themselves. And look, if you work
with the wicker cane.
If you work at a library, if you're going to get a gig at a library, it's the same way I would choose a firehouse. Which one has the most action? Oh man, the one downtown. Okay, which one has the least? This one in Simi Valley. That's the one I want.
Books are the same.
I want to be left alone. The people that work at libraries want to be left alone. You don't believe me? Go to a library and ask for some help. The person, first off, they don't even look up. Secondly, they'll never walk around the counter and do anything. They're just like, hey, man, you're on your own. So it's a whole big thing where, look, as a society, we need this house that hides the
library.
Library. We need to say as a society we have a lot of libraries, right? Because that means we're an evolved culture. But the guys who run the library don't make any money off it, and the people who work in it don't get paid the more people that come through the door. So basically, they want to be left alone, like that Twilight Zone episode where the guy wants to lock himself in a bank vault and read. Every single one is inhabited by that guy. So if you just check out the architecture, almost you never see lights on the front of the place. You never see light coming through a window. There's no light. And then when you walk in, you're like, hey, it's the place that hides the books. Shh. Quiet. We're hoping people don't think we're open. Shut the door. Shut the door. You idiot. You leave the door open, people are going to walk in and start mussing with the books. And they're going to leave them out, and I'm going to have to walk around this thing, and I'm going to have to put it away. Now, my whole goal is to never have to go around this thing. I got my pen here. It's got a chain on it. I'm reading one of the books, and I don't want to be disturbed. Now, look, I made a life choice many years ago. I'm going to figure out a way to live on $22,000 a year, and you are going to leave me alone. So, who's the joke on? I only get paid $22,000 a year. You may get five times that, but you have to work. I'm getting paid 22 grand a year to go shh and read. How much you get paid for reading, wise ass?
I'll tell you where things get ugly now at the library is the free internet.
Oh.
But you only get half an hour. I have been bullied by a 12-year-old. He was like, hey, time's up. I was working.
Hey, man, the guy's got to get to you porn. All right, well, where were we?
The reason I raised the issue is because there are sections of a bookstore or library that promise personal development.
Hold on a second. All right, all you need to know, bookstore, full plate glass windows, floor to ceiling, all along the front with books displayed in it, well lit.
Enticing you.
You want to get some coffee? You want to get a croissant? Hey, man, we'll validate your parking. Come on. Right. What's the difference with the bookstore and the library? It's the difference between capitalism and communism.
One's for profit. One is funded by the government.
How many times do I have to tell people that when you remove the profit, you remove the incentive, thus you get the old hag with the chain on the glasses, the chain on the pen, shushing you and wanting you to leave her alone. And if you ask for some help, she'll point. She'll say it's 128 clicks down the thing and then turn to the right when you see the automotive sign and blah, 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 blah. That's it. You go to a bookstore, pow, right around the counter. What can we do you for? Same thing, same deal. One is driven and motivated by profits. The other, they're greatest. Again, the whole thing about government employees, they pray you all die. The best day at the DMV is the day you don't show up. The best day at the place that hides the
library.
The best day at that place is the day you don't show up.
So the library is supposed to encourage us to read, while the people who work there probably would like us not to.
Is there a building that looks less open than a library?
It's very Soviet minimalist architecture.
Yes, they're very thick gray walls, almost no windows. If there are windows, they're always opaque, or they're sandblast or something. Light will not pass through the windows. The doors are never wide open. There seems to be no activity. It's just like, quiet.
Always a urine-soaked drifter. Always.
Quiet. They'll think we're closed. Oh, that guy's put there by the library. whose turn is it to be the urine-soaked hobo?
It's always one in there.
Yeah. You'll get in the big trench coat. We'll all make a number one on you, and then you sit front and center so the few people that do walk in are nauseated, have to turn around and go, I'm going to the Starbucks.
So the drifter is an employee of the library.
Oh, absolutely. If you come in the next week, that guy looks like David Hyde Pierce. You'll see him the next week wearing a monogram blazer standing behind the counter. You're like,
yes, hello. My name is Graham.
And what happens? You want to know what happens? Once in a while, you catch that guy. You'll go, wait a minute. I was here last week. I was going to come in and read the newspaper on the giant wicker cane. That's a great idea. How'd they ever sign off on that? Hey, what are we going to do about this 8 cents worth of newspaper that may get stolen once every 4 months? How about we attach it to a huge wicker cane? Yeah? All right, it's passed. No, I went into one of those places, and I saw the guy. He was reading the sports page. He smelled of urine. It flies and fecal matter around him. He's wearing it over. I got a good look at his face, though. And I turned around and left. I was nauseated. But I decided to come back a week later to see if the guy was there or not. And I walked in. He wasn't. So I walked to talk to the librarian. And it was the same guy, but this time he had a pocket watch and spats and a starch collar, and he looked like David Hyde Pierce. And I said, wait a minute, you're the bum. And he said, for a minute, and then he stuttered, and he looked uncomfortable. And he said, no, that was my twin brother. And I said, no, it wasn't. It was definitely you, because I can see you have a birthmark. And I saw his hand go under the desk, and there was some button he was pushing, and then he leaned into the addressing, and he yelled code 9, and then he stood back. Now, I stepped out of the way just in time to see a huge trap door open and a pit of, I don't know if it was alligators or sharks down there, but I just ran and I never looked back.
He tried to code 9 you.
He tried to code 9 me. I knew too much. Hey, Mike?
Yes.
Sorry, where were we?
Let's boil it down this way.
Now, who else has got some stories?
Let's go back to the original question. Middle-aged, middle-class American, what's the path for success? And let's take it down to the phone screener helped by saying, so what you're asking for is a motto. Okay.
Not interested.
You're not asking for a motto. You're asking for a way of life.
Yeah, I mean, I know it's not the
okay.
secret. Right.
All right. What? Okay. All right. Quiet. Teresa Strasser read the news the other day and said that 44 was the worst year of life, that they did a study out of I don't know where. And 44, chronologically, I don't know if it's for a male. It seemed like it was for a male for some reason, but maybe it was for everybody.
Everybody. It's the most depressing year of life.
Right. Middle age or beyond. What do you do? How do you change? How do you break a mold that's been set for many years? I think there's never been a better time to do that. You know, back in the day, people had one job. You worked at one coal mine. You worked at one factory. You did one thing. Now people are having 7-8 jobs over the course of their lifetime, and you can work at home. My first step in this journey of freedom, independence, financial or otherwise, is a very fair evaluation. You learn lessons from watching American Idol. A lot of people who can't sing, who think they can sing, who are based. The definition for me, one of the very definitions of being unhappy is unrealized goals. If there's a girl you want to go out with, and she will not go out with you, and you spend your entire high school career trying to date her, and you do not get one, is that a good high school experience? If your entire high school experience is trying to make the football team, and you're no good at football, you're not very athletic, so you spend 4 years attempting to do something that you never realize, is that a good high school experience? I'll just distill it down to high school. Let's just make it high school. You're there for 4 years. Are you trying to become something you're not? Or have you found something you're good at? Maybe you're good at speech and debate and you're not good at football. Maybe that chick won't date you, but her sister will. You know what I mean? Being realistic, evaluating yourself. What are your strengths and your weaknesses? Now, you don't have to be an expert, but you can train yourself to do that. But do you even have the basic chops to handle whatever it is? Be honest. Figure out what you love to do versus what you're able to do. Honestly assess that. And then once you've arrived at it, you weigh. Here's what you need to weigh. T.
Yeah.
Okay, you ready?
I'm ready.
Here's how it goes. I always wanted to play football. But at a certain point, I honestly evaluated myself, and so did a handful of coaches, and we came to the same conclusion.
Right.
Impossible to make a living playing football.
You hit the wall at a certain level.
Right. Unable. The wall was a huge black man, but yes, unable.
That was his nickname.
Well, his first name was DeWall.
Yeah, DeWall.
Right.
Yeah. So you hit the wall.
Right. I hit the wall. I could not move another inch, and I realized that was it with that career. Now, if I had said, screw it, I'm going for my dreams, and I started hitting the weights harder and trying to play semi-pro or arena, whatever, I would have caught on with some team as a third team something and gotten injured, never played, and been miserable, never made any money.
You weren't going to be great.
No matter how much you want to do something, you not being able to do it will make that experience horrible.
Oh, yeah.
So you have to be realistic. Then there are things that you don't want to do. I didn't want to do comedy nearly as much as I wanted to play football, but on the other hand, maybe I was a little bit better at comedy. Maybe that was a more realistic goal. So realistically assess your strength and, more importantly, your weaknesses, and then take the one that's most realistic. So, want to play professional football? Can't do it. Want to be a rock star? Can't do it. Would like to write comedy. Uh-oh. Well, maybe I could do
doors
this.
Doors are opening there.
All right. But now what? Well, go take some classes at the Groundlings. Go start training yourself. In other words, then the training part comes in. But first, make sure you have the potential to compete in that event, whatever it is.
Why don't we take a five-minute break?
Oh, we'd need to take a break.
Jessica Alba is going to be calling in later in the morning.
Yeah. Except for this card, which says Jessica Alba canceled.
Oh, really?
Oh.
Oh. She's probably at the library near a urine-soaked drifter.
Yeah. What? Oh, yeah, the place.
The place where they hide the book.
Hey, T-Bone?
Yeah?
I'll tell you what. Why don't we go ahead and, speaking of Jessica Alba, by the way, read this list from AskMen.com.
Ah, the 99 most desirable women of 08.
Mm-hmm. I will rant and rave about that as T goes through the list next.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show. Can't get enough of Adam and Teresa? Well, you're in luck. Here's Bald Brian's bonus B-sides on the Adam Carolla Show.
I'd like to talk to a representative from the Ad Council so I could rape his sister. Here's a promise ring. Now, how about some oral?
I gotta express the anus.
The anorexic Jew lives in the Carolinas. I drive drunk. That's what I do. I'm a big man. I admit it. I wear it on my sleeve.
I gave you that vagina to use
yeah.
With your penis.
A guy could touch me. It feels good.
Happy New Year, you effs.
Good times. All right now there, T-Bone. You have a list.
Yep, AskMen.com.
Mm-hmm.
They have put out a list of the top 99 most desirable women of 08.
Yeah. I made a little typo when I was looking it up and went to AskMen.com.
Oh, how was that?
Better.
Do they have the 99 most desirable asses?
Yeah, and there's stuff coming out of them, and it is good times. It is good times.
Do you want to know who AskMen.com thinks are the most desirable women?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Should we start with number one and work our way down?
Why don't you start at 10 and head up?
Okay. Number 10, Adriana Lima.
Which one is she?
She's a model, right?
All right. Oh, she's a Victoria's Secret model?
Right.
Yeah, she's hot. All right.
Marissa Miller?
Yeah.
She's a model, too.
Mm-hmm.
Sports Illustrated?
Mm-hmm.
Very thin.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Rihanna, number 8.
And her umbrella? There's something wrong with her.
What?
She has like a little dusting of Down syndrome. There's something wrong with her.
You think she has a little dollop of Downs?
I don't know. Maybe she's a little too hippie or something. Her torso, she's like one of these, she's like one of these people that has a different torso than lower half. Like right. Somebody mixed and matched them or something.
Two parts of two different bodies put together.
Yeah, good looking, but something a little bit off.
Number 7, Jessica Biel.
All right.
She's always on these lists.
Yeah. Jessica Biel, right. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Number 6, Scarlett Johansson.
Mm. Let me say this about Scarlett Johansson. Nice rack, cute, but not beautiful. Cute. And I'll tell you why. Because she's like 5'3 or 5'4.
Yeah, she's petite.
Yeah, she's no 6-foot model from Brazil. All I'm saying is if Scarlett Johansson was in your high school, you'd be like, hey, that's the cute chick. But there, in my high school, there would have been 15 chicks hotter than Scarlett Johansson. She would have been the cute one with the nice rack.
How about the 5th most desirable woman of 08 and the first guest to cancel today?
Mm.
Jessica Alba.
What a shocker. She canceled.
Couldn't make it.
She couldn't pick up the phone. Yeah. All right.
She's pretty.
Yep. She's a pretty bad actress. That's the pretty part. Well, look, okay, let me say this about Jessica Alba. Maybe some of this is just because hell hath no fury, like a nappy head scorn. I feel scorned. But look, Jessica Alba has made, I think, 3 or 4 movies this year. As a matter of fact, you forget about the one she's made because they did so little in the box office. She was in that movie where she played the girlfriend of the guy who went into the hospital and got put under anesthesia and didn't wake up and went into some wormhole. Remember that thing about
Awake.
4 months ago?
Awake with Hayden Christensen.
Right.
Yeah, Jessica Alba does movies like Nick Cage, which is you don't realize how many crappy movies they belch out a year because they're so bad they never made it to your radar. You have to think back and go, oh, that's right. He was in The Wicker Man and The Weatherman. And he was in The Stuntman or whatever, Johnny, whatever. Like, oh, my God, he made all those crappy movies. Well, that's right. He's made a bunch of horrible movies. His movies are so crappy that you don't know they're crappy because they fly by you. Alba has that, too. Let's
she
be honest.
She has a lot of movies. Now, was she in that one with Dane Cook?
I hear, possibly, I hear she's a very nice person. But there's not a lot going on with her. And in order to be a great actor, you have to have something going on. Sadly. I don't know why you can't fake it, but we can see into your eyes. And she doesn't have anything going on, except for she's good looking. Thus, she'll always stay busy, but she'll never be a great actress.
Well, there's a couple pretty decent actresses in the top 4.
Mm-hmm.
Eva Mendes is the 4th.
Mm, she's a good actress?
She's decent. There's something going on behind the eyes. And
all
I
right.
know I'm the only one who liked the movie Hitch.
No, I was all right with Hitch. That's your example of her acting ability, by the way?
I didn't have much to draw from.
She gets kicked in the head by Will Smith when she's out on a ski-doo.
What do you think she gets offered Pride and Prejudice? She's Eva Mendes.
It was very realistic the way she fell into the Hudson Bay.
Kate Beckinsale is a very good actress. She's the 3rd.
Let me say this about Eva Mendes. Eva Mendes, good looking.
Very.
Yeah. Yeah. But not, I don't know, something up.
What about Kate Beckinsale?
Yes, very hot.
Gorgeous and very talented.
Mm-hmm.
And number 2, Alessandra Ambrosio.
Who? Mm, I don't know. Sounds like a great dessert,
delicious.
Though.
I'm
yeah,
hungry.
Delicious.
Is that
yeah.
a marshmallow?
I want it. I don't care. Give it to me.
And the number 1, Brazilian supermodel. And the number 1 most desirable woman of 08, according to AskMen.com, Katherine Heigl.
Board op Bill, number 1 in AskMen.com,
oh
by the way. 3 years running, by the way. He doesn't even bother celebrating anymore.
Number 1.
What's your take on Heigl?
Like her, very good-looking, talented comedic actress, and proves you can be nice-looking and have something going behind those eyes, but have had a heap in helping of the aw shucks.
I can't believe this is happening to me.
Right, right. Had enough of her, but a talented actress.
Yeah.
Yes. I don't know about number one in the pure looks department, but maybe when you factor in the whole package.
I think the desirability quotient is probably a combination of looks and personality.
Mm-hmm.
After 10 years of having like female impersonators foisted upon us, the
yes.
Pam Andersons and the Carmen Electras of the world,
yes.
kind of nice that a
nice.
Normal looking hot
Completely
chick.
Agree, and it's so nice not I'm to cool see Pam it. Anderson anywhere on this list. All right, we're going to take ourselves a break. T.
Yes.
The news, what's coming up in it?
Well, you've said hot women such as Eva Longoria don't really have to tell a fascinating anecdote when they go on a show.
Right.
Listen to the laughs that she got from both herself and the woman interviewing her. That must have been really funny.
She's talking about scarf shopping 4 years yeah. ago, and that's what they came up with. All right, we'll break. I'll be back to scream after this.
Stream the Adam Carolla Show at adamcarolla.com. Just click on Listen Live.
Here's a promise ring. Now, how about some oral?
Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Hey.
Hey.
Kitties, who's a fan of quality television? That's right, you are. My prayers have been answered. Knight Rider, coming back to TV. Don't call it a movie. It's an event. It's a television, like, let's say, or mini, you know, Roots was a TV movie or mini series. This is an event. This is Knight Rider. You understand? It's coming back to TV February 17th on NBC. Also, we're going to have ourselves a little event of our own at the Playboy Mansion February 12th. You go to adamcarolla.com. Maybe we'll see you there. Okay, T.
Yep.
What's going on in the news?
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
Well, this is a bit surprising. I don't know if you know this, Adam, but the political debates have been getting excellent ratings.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out people are very interested in watching the candidates this year. In fact, a couple weeks ago, there was the CNN Congressional Black Caucus Institute debate.
And I was there.
At the Black Caucus?
Yes.
It was the most watched primary season face-off in cable news history.
I have never felt more inadequate in my life.
At the Black Caucus debate?
Well, it wasn't actually a debate, but, you know, I'd been pounding the beers pretty good. I don't know if you know, there's a lot of drinking that goes on at those caucuses. In the Black Caucus, I'd pounded a couple of 40s, and I had to use the bathroom. And they didn't have the dividers between
right.
the urinals.
Sure.
And I was flanked by a couple of the founding members, some of the biggest of the Black Caucus members.
Right.
And it was, look, I'm not making excuses, but it was cool in the bathroom. You know, with the tile
yeah,
and the air conditioning
right,
pump
right.
in. And enough said. Let's just move forward.
Did the big Black Caucus make you feel, you know, like an important... voter?
Empowered.
No, it did not. It made me feel impotent. It was quite the opposite. I felt intimidated by the large swinging Black Caucus.
Well, last night there was another debate. This one, Democratic. It was at the Kodak Theater here in Los Angeles. And debate moderator Wolf Blitzer got booed when he tried to put words in Hillary Clinton's mouth. Here she is talking about the war.
What I spend my time working on is trying to help pick up the pieces for families and for injured soldiers, you know, trying to make sure that they get the help that they need, trying to give the resources that are required. We had to fight to get body armor. You know, George Bush sent people to war without body armor.
So we need
a president who will be sensitive to the implications of the use of force and understand that force should be a last resort, not a first resort.
So what I hear you saying, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that you were naive in trusting President Bush?
No, that's not what you hear me saying. Good try, Wolf. Good try.
Hmm. Hmm.
I thought she did a decent job.
Yeah.
Well, her husband, Bill Clinton, was heckled. And he did a pretty incredible job. He was speaking at a campaign event in Denver, Colorado on Wednesday
mm-hmm.
when a heckler started shouting questions at him about 9/11 being a government conspiracy. And he smacked him down pretty good.
What are you screaming about? Let him talk.
Support a new investigation into the attacks of 9/11.
Are you one of those that was an inside job, guys? Well, let me tell you something. The great thing... First, Hillary agrees we should end the war, but we've heard from you now. Now you hear from me. I let you be rude and interrupt me, scream at the top of your lungs.
Well, now he's got the crowd behind him, and he says this.
9/11 was not an inside job. It was an Osama bin Laden job with 19 people from Saudi Arabia. They murdered 3,000 Americans and other farmers, including over 200 other Muslims. And we look like idiots, folks, denying that the people who murdered our fellow citizens did it when they are continuing to murder people all around the world. So we heard from you. You go away.
Go away.
Put him in the cornfield. All right.
Go home and get your f***ing shine box.
Pretty yeah, much. I don't, you know, I understand when there are these conspiracy theorists about stuff that happened to trigger the Spanish-American War because they didn't have forensic science and all that kind of stuff. I saw planes fly into the building. You understand? It didn't spontaneously combust. You know what I mean? When all this stuff happened years and years ago, who the hell knows what was really going on? Nothing was documented, and they didn't have the science of documenting. We have videotapes of planes flying into the building. That's what we have.
Right.
So the buildings were rigged with explosives, and the planes were somehow detonation devices, or that was just some smokescreen to confuse us. Good times.
Well, you've made the point that when you go on a talk show, you've got to dance. You've got to dance for daddy. You're on your unicycle or you're doing a sketch. You got to get your baby Sonny to cry. You've got to put a lot of thought and time and
effort. What are you going to do? What are you going to do, Brillo head guy with the bucket head? What are you going to do? Dance, monkey. That's what they're saying.
Right.
You have 15 conversations with the segment producer. I went, when I did Leno, here's what I did. I did Leno on a Wednesday, and I did Kimmel on a Thursday last week, I believe. I went down on a Tuesday to film a retarded bit called The Cat Yeller. Why? Because I'm just a doofus dude from the valley, and I gotta dance. I can't tell stories about when I rescued a kitten.
Well, remember when Joel McHale was here, he had a clip of Katie Holmes telling a long story about not hemming her pants?
I'm a hermaphrodite.
Yeah, and then later on, she put a button back on.
Yeah.
Actually, yeah, that's what you get to do. When you're hot, and you're a hot chick, you get to go, and even hot dudes get to do this, but hot chicks especially get to go. And my button popped off, and I was going to put it back on with that boutonniere button attachment thing that I got on a, you know, what do you... But I just put the button in my pocket, and I said I was going to sew it on, but I haven't yet. And then they crack themselves up because
everybody,
they did something
Katie
normal.
Holmes. We are going to do a two-part series and explore Katie Holmes' button.
Yes. Yeah,
well,
next.
Eva Longoria has a movie coming out. It's called Over Her Dead Body. So she went on Good Morning America to promote her movie. Obviously, she had to come up with some jokes and some funny anecdotes.
Oh, sure. She probably went the day before and did a roll-in piece like I had to do. Right. And then... And then you got to work out all the stuff you're going to say and then work out all the jokes you're going to do and plan everything. And I do a ton of improv. I probably do more of it than your average guy. So even I have to work things out with the segment producer, do the bits, tape the things, roll the things in. Joel McHale, when he did Kimmel, he had to put a bald cap on.
Because it was after Britney had shaved her head.
Whatever.
And he
dance, monkey.
He had to dance. Well, Eva Longoria... basically, just decided to chit-chat. You know, she recently married Tony Parker,
mm-hmm.
and she is not yet pregnant.
You both come from two big families.
Yeah.
You know where I'm going. Everyone's wanting to know, are you going to have your own big family?
I'm like, what do you think? Yeah, we both want children, and we both can't wait, and we practice a lot. But,
but thanks, Eva. Yeah. Thanks for
but we're nothing yet, nothing yet. I'll let you all know. Believe me, if I'm pregnant, I'll be yelling it from the highest mountain.
I'm sure
I'd
you
be
would
so
be.
Happy.
Right.
Big laugh.
Yeah, it's
I
good
think
times.
Mostly coming from her.
Yeah.
But she enjoyed it.
I do like people that crack themselves up.
Fuel Hauser does it. Eva Longoria does it.
I only laugh at myself when I fart.
You actually audibly laugh?
Yes. I got wind coming out of both ends.
When you're alone?
Yes. If it's, I mean, not every fart. I don't want to get soft.
Which ones are funnier?
The funniest ones are the ones where you're going up steps.
No. What's the funniest one?
The next one. The next one will be the funniest one.
So if you're jogging up some stairs, you will laugh.
It's more of a trot, but yes, I know what you're saying.
Yes, if you're just sitting in bed alone napping.
Well, once in a while, I used to live in a house. No, that won't usually bust me up. But I used to live in a house that had literally 85 stairs before I got to the front door. And I would start stepping up them. And once in a while, I'd do the toot, 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 toot. And then I'd realize, hey, man, you're halfway up the staircase. You may make it to the landing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And punctuate it with a nice.
Ooh, right.
Yeah. That was a bridge too far, though. I never.
Steps. I mean,
and the show has reached a new low.
You have to pace yourself.
Well, what you do is you trot up and you skip a two steps of trot. So, yeah, almost made it to the top.
Well, you never achieved it.
No, but I don't want to.
Why?
It'd be like bowling the perfect game when you were 16.
No more challenge.
That's right. What's ahead? You know what I'm saying?
Peak too early.
You don't want to hit a hole in one the first time you head out to the range. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Celebrity Rehab was on last night on VH1.
Mm-hmm.
The incomparable Jeff Conaway. You remember him from Taxi. He was Kinnicky in the original Grease.
Mm-hmm.
But now he's not sure whether he wants to live or die. He is possibly the most messed up former celebrity ever to be put on a reality show. We talked to him, I think, last week or the week before on our show. He has a conversation with Dr. Drew in which he admits that he's not sure whether he wants to live or die. And Dr. Drew reminds him that the people around him in rehab really love him.
How much they care
These
about
people
you.
People are wonderful people. I've never felt so much love in my life. I mean, that's what got me to stay here last night. Everybody, just telling me how they felt and being there for me. What was behind it was so real and so
intense here. It's intense.
Mm-hmm.
Then he goes on to describe some insane abuse he suffered as a child.
There were people, older guys, much older guys, that I would hang around with when I was a little kid. And they would...
How little?
Pretty little. 3, 4. And they would take me and beat me up and stick me in bags and lock me in trunks and, you know, pour water all over it and fill up or hang me from buildings or take me to railroad tracks and tie me up and tell me that the axe murderer was coming and all of a sudden this guy would show up with an axe and, you know.
3 years old.
Yeah.
Hmm. Sounds like just called a fraternity. Get over
it. A little hazing, but he's
yeah,
three.
Yeah, that's what they do. And by the way.
It's a sign they like you.
I don't think Baldwin would care if he left. He'd just go have to find something else to blow hard to. Like a piece of lawn furniture or something.
Baldwin had to go because he didn't find the atmosphere suitable for his sobriety.
What is it about sober guys and blowhardism?
That's the 13th step, I think. Once you do the first 12,
13th
you gotta start blowing
hard. Being a mammoth blowhard. I can't hang around sober people because they're all blowhards. They all get that. First off, here's how you know a guy's a blowhard. When he starts throwing out dates.
Yep.
I always say this. I don't know. If people said to me like, hey, man, when did you graduate high school? Or how old are your kids? Or when did you start the radio show? I'm always like, I don't know. It's been a while. I mean, if you ask me things like, when did you start the man show? Late 90s.
When were your children born?
Sun was up. Tell you that right now. That's one thing I know. Sun was up.
Yeah, but the actual date or year?
It was a weekday, pretty sure.
Yeah.
Hospitals open on the weekends?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, they are?
Yeah, 24/7.
Huh. A weekday? I've narrowed it down to weekdays and weekends, okay?
Yeah.
For sure. And definitely daytime, somewhere between... When's the sun come up? About 6:45?
Depends on the time of year.
You know? Oh, because it was... It was hot, I remember.
I think it was in the summer.
Well, I remember opening the window when we were driving home.
But what about your sobriety date?
No, wait a minute. I was smoking.
It wasn't raining.
It wasn't raining.
No, it was not.
Okay. Anyway, it was probably somewhere in the summer or spring or summer. It could have been unseasonably warm for the fall. Either way, we were definitely on Earth.
You've ruled out winter and other planets.
I know we were in the northern... I know we're in North America. That much I do know. That's right. And my either two daughters, two sons, or son and daughter have a very good life.
But okay? You're sure it was two that were born?
twins, hold on. It's like when you say a set of, okay, when you say it's I'm giving away two pair of tickets, that's four tickets.
Four, yeah.
So twins would be four kids. Twin kids.
If you say
but
offspring,
you say kids, you say kids are plural,
all.
Right? Twin kids. It's either two or four kids, and they were born.
It's divisible by two.
Whatever. They're here. I know that. And either they're going to get ready to start college or they're crapping themselves now. Either way, they're having a better life than daddy did. I don't sweat the details. And when the blowhards start throwing the numbers out, that always means blowhardy. Super blowhardy.
You know what else? And God bless. But occasionally there's the guy with the his chip that's mm-hmm. in the leather wristband bracelet thing.
I'm really convinced blowhards just get loaded so they can get sober and then blowhard at everybody else about what it takes to be sober and about how they're only human and they're only mortal and
seems needlessly elaborate.
I swear to you. Or maybe blowhards are attracted to booze,
right.
cocaine and substances. I'm gonna ask Drew one day because they love to get really preachy about it and they love to explain how it's one day at a time and tomorrow, the bubba, and they never look ahead,
right.
and they're almost like athletes.
Sometimes they get their sobriety date tattooed on themselves.
Yes, on rare occasion.
But you know, what if you just think they're all blowhards because the only ones that talk about it are the ones that you know are 12-steppers? There may be lots of them that, you know, we don't know they're sober because they just shut up about it.
Well, it's interesting. Yeah, it's like the gays. You think you have good gaydar.
Because you're seeing flamboyant gays.
But what about all the other gays that you don't know are gay?
Brian.
Oh, come on.
Is it too depressing, or do you want to hear more about some of Jeff Conaway's ritualistic abuse he suffered as a child?
No, go to the next one.
Okay. Here's a story about Dolly Parton. Well, in a way it is.
Mm-hmm.
This is a story I actually did the first time it came around, but there's news. Now, you'll remember there's a 36-year-old named Diane Duffin. She lives in West Yorkshire, England, and for some reason, she would not stop blasting Dolly Parton all the time, all the time, 24 hours a day. Her neighbors got very angry, and they started calling police to complain. She kept ignoring her neighbors' warnings to turn the music down, so eventually, she was taken to court. And the court decided, you know what, we're going to confiscate her TVs and her stereo equipment.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that did not stop her from pumping the dolly. She just went and bought a new stereo.
Yeah.
So this week, back in court. And this time, the Leeds County Court made an even stronger move and evicted Diane for antisocial behavior. She has to be out of her home by Monday. This is all because of Dolly Parton.
I'm mad at Dolly Parton, too.
What'd she do to you?
She misled a young 19-year-old Adam Carolla.
How so?
She did a movie called Straight Talk in like the mid-80s.
Right.
Remember in the mid-80s when every third movie was about somebody getting pushed in front of a microphone or up on stage and it turns out they were great but they weren't supposed to be the person?
Yeah.
She showed up at some Chicago talk radio station.
Right.
And she was going to be the new receptionist. And they did that thing they did in every movie in the 80s where they went, oh, you're late, Dr. So-and-so. And they somehow weren't able to explain that they weren't the new talk show psychiatrist who was going to go on the air at noon. So they whisper her away, put her in the thing, sat her behind the microphone. And guess what? She got off to a bumpy start, but eventually, by the end of the show, phones ringing off the hook. The entire Windy City was enamored with a young Dolly Parton. Now, she was just a country girl, but she had her own homespun wisdom. And, of course, the next day, she was walking down the street and passing people who were high-fiving her, and everyone was standing at bus stops listening to her, and they did a whole montage where construction workers were singing, and I said, oh, great, this is what talk radio is like. One day, I'll be on talk radio, and I'll be the toast of the town, and I'll do my broadcast, and then I'll go down the street, and I'll pass guys that are hot dog vendors that are listening to their AM radios pushed up against their ears and construction workers and chicks, and everyone will be buzzing about what I said. I was on the air for 10 years. My dad didn't know what station I was on. I would get questions all the time during the day. Huh? You do what?
Hello?
What do you do at night? I do a radio show. I do a talk show. Oh, yeah? What's it called? Loveline. Haven't heard of that. That was from family members. Forget about construction workers and guys pushing hot dog carts down the sidewalk.
Are you telling me Straight Talk is not a
I couldn't find a goddamn person that listened to my show.
I'll leave you with this. Opening at the box office this weekend.
Where's my montage?
What do you
I want
to be
a
doing
montage. Here's the two montages I want.
Okay.
I want the success montage, where I get behind the microphone, all of a sudden, we see the ratings charts going up, we see the phones ringing off the hook.
You're on the cover of Us Weekly?
Spinning cover? Spinning cover stops. Yeah? The mouth that roared. Pow, there I am, right there, leaning behind one of those old-timey microphones.
And you're in a hot tub with nine women in it drinking champagne.
In a top hat.
No, but it's a limo.
Right.
And we're going through town and everyone's listening. Everyone's live. I want that montage.
Right.
And I want the paint the house montage.
How does that go?
That's where instead of actually painting the house, me and my friends do it in montage form. Yeah. Where boom, it's over with. We do the move where I'm rolling the roller and I go past the doorway as if I'm going to roll the air inside the door jam. And the guy's face is there and I roll it across his face. And we laugh. And it, you know what? The paint gets knocked over and it's a hijinks ensue, but the house is done.
Right. And the last shot, you see the final paint
roll. You see the final product.
And then a thumbs up.
That's right.
It's all
I want
over.
The house painting montage, and I want the super success, the rocket to success montage.
Well, you might find a montage in The Eye opening this weekend with Jessica Alba.
Oh, that looks awesome.
She plays a blind chick who gets her vision restored after transplant surgery, but then starts having visions of death.
The eyes are from a serial killer. Awesome.
Or you could see Over Her Dead Body, a comedy with Eva Longoria.
Mm-hmm.
As a woman who dies on her wedding day and then comes back to haunt the next girl.
Both these movies look like 35 movies that were made in the last 4 months.
Just
do
like
they not?
With Reese Witherspoon.
Yep.
God damn. They look horrible, these movies.
Or you could see Strange Wilderness, a comedy with Steve Zahn.
Okay. I don't want to beat up Steve Zahn or Strange Wilderness, but as I was saying to producer Angie, who was saying she wanted to go see Strange Wilderness, these are Adam Sandler farm out movies. Now, it is like if I said, hey, you know, Bald Brian, the Pontiac Aztec?
Oh, sweet.
That car, that pile of crap minivan?
I mean, oh,
guess what? They have one called the Aztec Junior.
Where can I get one?
It's got the four banger, not the V6 in it.
I can't wait to test drive it.
That's my point. Adam Sandler movies aren't Adam Sandler movies. These are the ones Adam Sandler didn't want to be in.
He turned down Strange Wilderness.
He puts his name on it, makes $1 billion. They do Grandma's Boy. They do a whole bunch of these forgettable, semi-crappy movies. I'm only saying this because I assume the adults that are involved with them know they're crappy movies, too. But it's a business. It's fine.
Speaking of business, Hannah Montana and Miley Cyrus, Best of Both Worlds tour, will probably do a lot of it. I'm Teresa Strasser. That's the news.
Tomorrow's news. Today, Teresa Strasser. CNN.
All right, we need to take ourselves a break. Oh, good news, Aisha Tyler. Where is she on my AskMen.com list? Because she is beautiful.
She should be on the list.
Hmm. So you're telling me that Hayden Panettiere, or Panettiere, is on this list, that little cankly munchkin who cries over the souls of whales?
Yeah.
That little munchkin is on this list?
She's hot right now.
And the beautiful Aisha Tyler's not on this list?
It's a disgrace.
It's racism is what it is.
I think so.
That's right. We'll take ourselves a break. Back with Aisha Tyler next.
It's time to name the Adam Carolla Show Employee of the Week. The hallmark of any good employee is the ability to not only finish assigned tasks, but to proactively seek out new tasks that will move projects and the entire team forward. This week's employee is tireless, vigilant, and makes the rest of the staff seem like lazy pieces of sh**. This week's Employee of the Week is, once again, Adam Carolla.
Wow.
Oh,
what an awesome honor.
Fantastic.
Let me say this. I'm not going to take the whole award home this week, as
you
I normally
it?
Do. I will share it.
With who?
Myself.
Nice.
That's right, bitch. You get nothing once again.
Aisha, how are you?
Number one.
Fantastic.
We're very happy you're here.
Happy to be in the presence of the employee of the week here.
I don't know if you noticed the door when you came in, but there's a reason it says Studio M in there.
We don't know what that reason is.
No. I was. Then I just worked out in my head. I was like, because no one in here has an M in their name.
Nope. Hey, Aisha Tyler, first off, you're one of my favorites.
I feel the same way about you. You're my employee of the month as well. I have a little picture of you up at home. Yeah, a little Polaroid.
Aisha, smart, beautiful, the thinking man's thinking woman.
Nice. That's very nice.
Wow. Yeah, go ahead and use that. You can call yourself that.
I am. I'm gonna put that on my MySpace page.
And the thing I like about Aisha is she's got some tomboy in her, but eventually you go into Diesel Dyke and she stops.
She
right
stops
before.
Just short. In fact, she was just telling me that you were the best man.
I was. I was the best man at my best friend's wedding just a couple of months ago.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about this. It was the second time he got married, to be fair. So he had a dude the first time and he decided that maybe that dude was bad luck.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So he thought he'll bring a chick on for the second go round. Yeah.
Well, the thing I like about Aisha is she brews her own beer.
She plays poker.
Play the poker.
She hates kids.
I don't know. Maybe she's softened since last time.
Have I? No, not particularly.
No.
I get into the age where I feel like I should. Like I'm starting, you know what I mean? Like all the other chicks around me are cranking out the babies.
Right.
And I just feel like maybe I'll go get one at a store or something like Brangelina did. You know what I mean? Just go to the baby store. Get a little black baby. Maybe a little black baby and a little Asian baby. Mix it up.
Oh yeah, listen.
Yeah.
You can get them. Mm-hmm. The little blonde kids are there's a waiting list.
There's a but premium on the
go,
little blonde
if you,
kids.
If you want to travel around the country, you can find, or I should say, the world. You can get anything you want these days. I know
exciting?
A guy. Hey, Aisha Tyler. Then your family. Because
yeah.
Here's the thing I'm curious about that I've been seeing a lot of. I usually just basically look at the family, and if your parents were divorced, then I assume you'll get divorced one day. And if your parents were together and you come from an intact family with lots of siblings, then I assume you're going to start a family and have lots of siblings. But recently, I'm seeing a lot of people from families where their parents are still together and they had three or four brothers and sisters and everything seemed hunky-dory who've decided not to have kids. And that seems counterintuitive to me.
Interesting. That's really okay. My parents are divorced and I've got a sister.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really know the answer other than I'm lazy. And I feel like kids would cut into my Xbox time. That's really where it's coming from right now is I have a lot of aliens to kill. And I feel like the kid would just get in the way of that. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
An Xbox, you mean the video game, not what Teresa's old boyfriend called her.
Yes. not like the lead dancer at Cheetah's.
And can I ask this then or pose this question or theory? We talk about this sort of me generation we're in, where people are sort of looking out for number one.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there was this time, and some of it's good and some of it's bad. There was a time where an 18, 19, or 17-year-old guy would go, well, the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor, give me a gun. I got to go over there and do something about it. And they'd be on some troop transport, and they'd go, you know, there's a pretty good chance you're not coming back. And they'd be like, yeah, well, what are you going to do? I gotta go fight.
Yeah.
You know, there was that mentality, and there was the mentality of, look, I may die
I
gotta die during childbirth, but I'm still gonna have 8 kids, and if I die on the 9th, well, so be it. There's 8 or 9 that go on without me. We don't really have that anymore.
No, we don't.
We have somehow lost that. Maybe it was everyone getting a participation trophy for playing soccer. I actually blame soccer.
Specifically soccer
because...
Not field hockey or lacrosse?
No, not any of those games. Certainly not football or basketball or baseball. I blame soccer because this is a sport that everyone can play, girls and boys, and everyone gets a trophy and everyone feels good about themselves. And worse yet... Soccer is boring to watch when it's played by professionals. When it's played by 7-year-olds, it is excruciating.
I would actually wager that at some age, it's funnier to watch little kids do it because there are more kind of shin injuries.
Well,
and, head smacks. And there's nothing funnier than like a 6-year-old just smacking somebody head and falling out.
I'm with you on that. I'd rather see retarded adults do Shakespeare than junior college students do it. At a certain point, maybe you're right. It becomes surreal.
Just the possibility of massive injury kind of adds to the excitement.
But just seeing 7 17-year-olds chase a ball around that comes up to their waist and attempt to kick it and then start crying and stop and have the coaches yelling, you got to go chase the ball, you know, from the sideline. And then everyone's a winner.
This is something that you experience. This is
I got dragged a couple of my nephew's games a few years ago. The point
is everyone's
feeling good about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe we're feeling so good about ourselves that we don't want to feel good about somebody else, namely a kid that needs a diaper change and a burping and some formula.
Yeah, you know, I don't have a theory on this, but I do think that as the country gets wealthier and we all kind of do better, mm-hmm. we start to enjoy that more. You know what I mean? Just like the idea, like I like kids enough and I like the idea of, you know, procreating enough.
Mm-hmm.
But there's plenty, you know, it's also like the more you watch the news and the more information you have access to, you just think that there's, I feel like maybe there's plenty of people out there. I'm feeling like, you know, there's mm-hmm. just plenty of people crawling around, blowing crap up and taking a dump on my front lawn. And
sure.
I will find
like
that guy, by the way.
Someone listening.
I will find you. I know I'm testing your DNA right now. But do you know what I mean? Like there's just enough people out there. And mm-hmm. they're also, you know, I would say that the flip side of that is that there was this arrogance in the 50s of like my DNA is the best DNA and I'm going to have the most killer babies and they're going to like be president. And I think nowadays people think, yeah, my kid might be president or maybe they're going to be like kind of a slutty teenager runs their car into a tree. And maybe I don't want to have a slutty teenager around. I can just borrow the neighbor's slutty teenager.
It's, I agree. We probably have enough of those. And who's going to fix all those trees and bumpers?
Mm-hmm.
I agree that it's simultaneously super narcissistic not to have any kids because it's all about you. And on the other hand, it's probably the greatest gift you can give to the universe.
People always say that. They go, oh, you're so selfish because you don't have kids. I'm like, it's not like there's one in the closet I'm sliding bologna slices under the door to. There is no kid. You know what I mean? Like, you're selfish for sucking up more oxygen than
selfish
you had before.
Selfish is crapping out a kid and never seeing the kid.
There you go, my friend. That's the deal.
Obviously, adopting a child in need is the most selfless.
That would be the most selfless thing.
Mm-hmm.
That would be the most selfless thing.
All right. We'll take ourselves a break. Aisha Tyler is here. She's going to be at the Brea Improv tomorrow night, and tomorrow night, two shows a night,
cranking it out. And we had a show last night. It was unbelievable. Like just the most beautiful club I probably ever worked in.
Well, what are the chances that's going to happen two nights in a row?
Yeah.
So don't go tonight, but then go Saturday because a pattern is forming. Aisha Tyler, Brea Improv. Quick break. Back with her next. Aisha Tyler in studio.
Hey, hey.
By the way, if you want to see the trailer for my movie, The Hammer, you can go to MySpace and find it there somewhere.
I'm also on MySpace.
Oh.
So you can visit me there. Go see Adam's trailer, mm-hmm. then come visit me, and then enjoy all of the fantastic amateur porn. On MySpace.
Do you answer your messages on
sometimes?
MySpace?
I'm really picky about it, and you know, like if somebody came to a show and then they write me afterwards, I'll always write them back.
Mm-hmm.
Or you know, but if somebody writes and they're like, "Hey, baby, check out this new song I wrote," I'm all, you know, I wish I could actually send like a turd through the like eSpace. You know what I mean? Like a flaming turd, like an e-turd. I need to create
you
that. I think I can make some money.
JPEG.
You know, it's like a burning e-turd. You know, people come by and they give you like that thanks for the ad thing.
Glitter.
I just send back like a burning turd. Be like, that's my response to you.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the other thing about the thanks for the ad thing, or people like they'll drop by and they'll go like,
and then you can do the T-vite eventually,
the turd invite, website, just like the anti-evite. When people drop by and they'll send you the little thing that says like, stop and by to show you some love, but mm-hmm. then like their MySpace photo is like the photo that didn't make it into like Hustler's Beaver Hunt or something like that.
Right.
I feel like, you know, what would be great is if you want to show me some love, don't send a picture of your taint. That's what I would like to have happen. That would be a lovely thing right there.
The more you know. Aisha Tyler, by the way, is going to be at the Brea Improv tonight and tomorrow night. That's Friday and Saturday. Improv.com is where you go, or you find Aisha on MySpace. Aisha said during the break, enough talk about the procreation and the problems of the world.
Serious, like, life issues.
You wanted to talk.
I wanted to talk about farts. I just thought, I thought we should just step it up a notch on the sophistication level.
And I said, Aisha, you came to the right place.
I was impressed with the beautiful array of fart noise impressions that you were doing earlier.
I must say this. I have said, I don't crack myself up that much. Some comedians will crack themselves up.
I find farts hilarious.
But farts I find hilarious. I'll laugh when you fart or I'll laugh when I fart. And I will do it alone. That's how committed I am. But Bald Brian found a clip from Loveline.
Go ahead.
Many years ago, I'm one of these guys that doesn't have bad gas but once every Olympic season or so.
But okay. When it's bad.
But when it's bad, it's bad. And in the 10 years I did Loveline, I probably had it twice. That was
a tight studio, too. That was close quarters.
Literally, when you open the door to walk into the studio, it would hit Dr. Drew's chair in the back, and you'd have to ask him to roll it to the left so that you could slide in. So it was a very small, no windows, no ventilation. I had a very bad, gassy night. And Drew, as a matter of fact, got a mic extension cord and went out into the entry hall
That's
and did the show.
Awesome.
At that point, I was giddy at this point. You know, at a certain point, you start laughing so hard you get punchy.
Yes, and you start to weep a little bit.
You start to weep,
and
then somebody,
like a little giggly
girl. And it's like someone could bring up Darfur, and you'd be like, I can't help it. It's all funny.
I just can't
help it. You're punchy. Well, this was us coming back from a commercial break after an hour and a half of farting on the air.
Was your ass mic'd?
I did mic.
You mic'd your ass, didn't it. You?
Wait for it.
Oh my god. Oh, is that huge? I should get a medal for tonight.
Yeah. A listener sent that to me on MySpace. You can check it out.
Well, your timing was excellent.
But you've been working on the whole break on that one. I mean, it was like an art piece at that point, you know?
The only thing better than that was the reaction of Drew.
Who's horrified.
Who was horrified.
He's got like 30 years of graduate school, right?
And
he's sitting in here in the fart chamber.
This man has opened cadavers that were fished out of rivers and had handled it better than this. And the other thing, too, I love it when people get super serious about something that I can't stop laughing about. Yep. And at a certain point when the guy goes, dude, seriously, it's not fun. And then you fart again, and now I just erupt. Aisha, now, I have what I think is probably the... I have the two greatest fart stories on the planet. Now,
really?
You are our guest. If you have a good fart story, certainly put it forward. But I have a couple involving Jimmy Kimmel that I think are unbeatable.
You know what? I have to say that most of my fart stories are just the layperson's fart stories, which is that, you know, the old kind of... sneaking up and kind of creating the fart chamber under the covers.
Mm-hmm. You do that to your husband.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're at that point in our relationship, which I think is a great place to be when you're with a couple, which is just, there's no more kind of like, oh, I'm so cute and let me shave in the magical place and then come out and I'm like, a bunny rabbit. No, I mean, you know, we live together. We've been together a long time. And if you're in a couple and you can't fart and then laugh about it, honestly, I think you should see a counselor. Like, you need counseling.
At what point? Like a couple years in?
I think 5 years in, I think you should be able to fart around each other and it should be hilarious. And it usually is hilarious to both of us, and sometimes we have little competitions.
How about public gas? Where do you stand on that?
Just the way you said it made me laugh. I think the big problem with public gas is that not everybody finds it funny. It is funny if you do it and then you kind of like leave and then you stand in the corner and laugh at other people experiencing it. That's what's great about being married. You can be a team in that way. We back each other up. Then your husband like gives him the hairy eyeball. Like, why are you looking at my woman that way? You know, maybe you get a little bar fight over it.
Well, it's like when you rob a bank, you need a wheel man.
You always need a wheel man.
You don't go in alone and then jump on a moped and try to get away.
No,
you need a partner in crime.
Yes.
Well, speaking of farting in public places, I will use there's no hyperbole here. There's no exaggeration. Jimmy Kimmel, many years ago when we were going to a K-Rock event, I think it was the Weenie Roast out in Irvine, you have to take a shuttle bus. It's not a van. It's one of those buses that probably holds about 30 people.
Like a little party bus with the carpeted ceiling.
It's a party bus, except for they have seats where the jacuzzi normally is
where
on Shaq's party bus.
Yes,
right.
Exactly.
So we're in one of those things, and everyone has to go from the Irvine Marriott to the Irvine Meadows, because if you drive, you can't get in. It's the executive shuttle bus.
I gotta tell you, your life was glamorous back then, for sure.
Those were
Marriott
the days.
Marriott to the Irvine Meadows.
Couple of laminates and a nice domestic beer in my hand. So
Zima.
Everybody was on the bus was like record executives and band managers and guys like label guys. Lots of label guys. Just essentially cool white people in their 30s who were in the record industry. On the way back, on the shuttle bus, on the way back from Irvine Meadows, and by the way, it took 45 minutes just to really negotiate all the parking traffic and get out of Irvine Meadows, and another 20 minutes to get to the Marriott. Well, Jimmy had gas.
Mm.
And Jimmy, I don't know if there's something off with his flora or his fauna, probably his flora and his fauna.
He needs some Activia.
But his flora makes his fart stink. And he was probably had a couple beers in him and was feeling no pain and started blowing gas. And it wasn't the kind of thing where people didn't know what was going on.
I was
going to
say, it wasn't a subtle kind of like let me lay this down, a little undernote, little bass note.
No, people knew where it was coming from.
And who was doing it.
And they knew who was doing it, although Jimmy Kimmel was not Jimmy Kimmel back then.
Right. He was just that dude on the bus who was ripping it.
He was on K-Rock, but we didn't know who he was. So much to the point where, you know the buses that have the windows where you try to get them open and they only give you a 4-inch crack at the top if you slide them down and they bind when they go? People were doing that, standing up in their seat, turning their heads sideways like an angelfish and trying to stuff their mouths outside to get some fresh oxygen into their lungs.
This is impressive. Like refugees trying to get out of a country or something.
Yes, now I was laughing like I just couldn't gain my breath. I was laughing so hard, and Jimmy's cousin Sal was rolling around on the floor, and every once in a while some really uptight hipster in his 30s from a record label would turn around and go, "Seriously, dude?" But it was one of those guys with like a leather wristband. And a choker.
Right. Or he's got like a suit on with like a hip t-shirt underneath.
Yeah, and he's like, "Seriously, dude.
Dude.
This is not funny anymore." And it's ironic when someone is explaining to you, something's
funnier.
Not funny and you can't hear them because you're laughing hard.
Just the weeping, like just streaming in from your eye into your ear. Like that's how hard you're crying.
The guy who drove the bus stood up at a certain point, went for a can of Wizard and actually stood up at a stop sign or at a red light and walked down the aisle spraying this stuff over his head.
That's impressive.
That's where we had gotten to on this bus. Then, when the door opened, when we finally got to the Marriott, the door opened and people piled out like it was Speed, the movie. Like as if somebody said there's a bomb on this bus and Al-Qaeda's going to detonate. I mean, just fell out into the street and on the curb.
Out of a can.
And they all, and then the greatest moment ever for Jimmy, and there's actually two more good moments here. One is they all piled out into the Marriott. They're all like, "Oh, dear Christ. Oh, dear Lord. I can't believe that. How rude is that guy?" And they all showed up at the check-in. They all checked in at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
They're all standing 5 wide and 5 deep, all standing to check in. And we were just standing outside laughing. And as we were walking in, because we'd already checked in, Jimmy had one more left in the tank.
Nice. The coup de grace.
He walked
by.
All of their backs were turned to him because they're all facing the counter and all being helped with the guy in the computer. And he slowed down and he let one more big silent one go before we went off to
him. Oh, my God.
It was the greatest moment ever. And here's how you know it was completely validated. Not only did the guy bring out the Wizard and start spraying that around, 1 year later, I was in the exact same shuttle going to the exact same concert. Jimmy was not there that year. Then Jimmy had left K-Rock and he was doing, TV shows. And I went and I was sitting in there. And on the way in, I sat behind a couple. And the guy turned to the girl and he said, "You know what? This time last year, there was a dude on this bus that was so rank." I got Jimmy on the phone like that and said, "Brother, there's the greatest tribute ever that could ever be paid to him." Usually you have to die to get this kind of praise.
To get that kind of tribute.
Yes. Now, Jimmy also got the Airwick can out on a Southwest flight that we were on.
He brought his own?
Nope. Stewardess went for it.
Wow.
So the point is there are two modes of transportation where an unbiased professional who worked on that mode of transportation went to go get the spray.
Recognized
and
a threat in their midst.
Yeah, it was
and
funny.
And decided to eliminate it.
Because she sprayed our friend Daniel instead of Jimmy.
Because she
didn't know where it was coming from. But you actually get sprayed with it like pepper spray. That's your punishment.
She just dressed you down. Came over and
I tell Jimmy, if you could get this on a train, that would be the Holy Trinity. You would be done.
Right.
You could die at this point.
I think a cab would be good to outstink a cab.
I was going
to
say, like, what's the most kind of like compressed, contained environment in which you could just rip one?
Well, one would say that's impressive, but this guy actually stunk out a 737.
I mean,
there were 110 people on this plane.
How about a DC-10?
She went for you could step up to a bigger airframe. Yeah.
She needs to get on the USO tour.
and get on one of those like
Hercules
tanks or
C-130.
Yeah,
one of those
like the tank carrier, the transport.
The thing is that those guys have. I mean, like if you can upset like military guys have like seen death and people's heads blown.
Right.
If you can fart badly enough to upset that guy, then you're just like the king of all you survey.
Well, again, that's when I had to bow and hand
it's
the belt
impressive.
Over to Kimmel.
I'm disappointed in myself now because thinking back, I must have very healthy flora because I'm kind of the silent. I work this, but they're not ever like rippers. You know what I mean? I just, which is, I sometimes I'm disappointed that I kind of think, oh, I'm going to get everybody now.
Well, Aisha Tyler, you do the fun domesticated hot pockets with your hubby, but leave the big commercial work to Kimmel.
Right? Yeah, to the professionals. That's true.
Yeah. I mean,
I need to take a course or something
for
like
you,
that.
For you, it's a hobby, but it's not a way of life.
I must admit, as a woman, I should probably be pleased that I'm not kind of, you know, getting dressed down on the airline with the wizard. Or
I think I would die of shame if that happened to me. Yeah, would be horrible.
What about a bus?
You would never, you know, I think most people in that kind of a context would hold it in.
Right.
And go eliminate in a proper environment.
Yeah,
you know, you'd go into you'd move to the back of the airline and blame it on somebody else.
It's almost pathological to want to stink people out.
Strategic. Here's the problem with Jimmy. Mm. He's not a strategic farter. I mean, really, you want to kind of choose where you're going to do this stuff and be a little bit more, you know.
He's trying.
Well, I would say two things. First off, we're talking about him farting. So obviously
his work here is done.
Mission accomplished. Right. Number two, 1 year later. On the same mode of transportation they were still talking about.
That is impressive.
All right.
Do you recall at all what he was eating that day?
Well, you can look at him and kind of tell.
Jimmy,
you're such a fox.
Here's what Jimmy would do. Jimmy would preload. Like one time when we rented a van and drove to Vegas, he preloaded by
He's
eating.
He's like a murderer.
This is the difference. This is the difference between Murder One and manslaughter with extreme prejudice, aggravated
manslaughter.
He ate a can of canned clams right out of the can.
Wow. Do you know what?
Just to give himself some pop.
That's a mystery food because I don't know that I would say going in that the canned clams would have the result I was looking for. I think I might be like, let's see what happens with the canned.
But if I was an attorney for the prosecution, I would argue that he knew.
Right.
Going in,
yes.
What it did to him.
Exactly.
You know, we all have our own food. For some of us, it's broccoli. For others, it's canned ham. He does the pasta fazool with the canned clams. Yes, that's his thing.
It sounds. I think you wouldn't even need to eat the clams. I think you just crack the canned clams in the car and
probably eliminate
the middleman.
Yeah,
that was one of the most horrific 5.5 hours of my life because that trip
couldn't roll the windows down.
Well. It was made by, it's sort of like this.
You were in one of the first edition Kias.
It's like there's a guy who's the best hoop player in your small school in Northern California. Mm-hmm. And you didn't think there'd be anyone better than little Jimmy Mick Freeman. This guy was a great little, he hit every three-pointer, he did everything, and then all of a sudden you saw Michael Jordan, and you're like, oh my God. I thought Jimmy was the best.
So Thunderbum dropped into
and
the room.
And I got into this van, and in this van was the brother of a guy named Big Tad.
He was a
male stripper.
Okay, I was gonna ask if he was a porn star.
He was a male stripper, and Jimmy.
Your name is Tad. You're not really destined for many great things.
Oh, it was Tad's brother.
Oh, okay.
And Jimmy, it was Tad's 21st birthday, and we rented a van and we're driving to Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
And Jimmy got in the van, and Jimmy announced to everyone in the van, "Guess who ate canned clams? We're gonna hit some traffic. This is gonna be about 6 hours, and it is on." And he let his first one fly, and Big Tad's big brother looked at him and said,
Oh, it's on. Bring it.
That's good to know.
Nice.
And then he let something fly before we got on the freeway. And Jimmy and I were like, oh, good Lord.
Oh, no. Oh, please, God, no.
We didn't know this man existed.
One tear escapes from the eye.
Now, Adam, do you prefer this to people dancing it out? To
We had a fart off all the way to Vegas. We were like, and so by the time we got to like Baker, we were in a fetal position begging for mercy.
Right, seriously.
And he was like, hey man, you brought it. You started this, not me, and I'm going
to
finish it.
And he blew us up.
He took Jimmy, who I thought was the Tiger Woods of ass games, and turned him to a rank amateur.
I think the title Tiger Woods of ass games could mean a lot of things.
And probably to a lot of different people.
I think I saw that title on the shelf at the movie store the other day.
Aisha Tyler, by the way, is going to be at the Brea Improv tonight. And again, you missed tonight's show because last night's show was so great that there's no way she's going to do that two nights in a row. But Saturday.
I think that I've been very lucky that I'm the person who tends to build. I am like Tiger. You know, I do well on Thursday, better on Friday.
You heat up by the weekend.
Yeah, I heat by Saturday. It's smoking. So tonight will be a great show. And tomorrow might be sold out, in which case you'll have it tonight. But I promise you, I don't ever phone it in. I always bring the heat. No, and it's a lot of people don't like a lot of guys. So I'm going to see this girl. She's going to do a lot of girl stuff. My show's filthy. So come out with your lady friend. You'll be happy. Be very happy.
Brea Improv tonight.
Don't bring your kids out. I always even come and they're like, they come because they saw me in Santa Claus 3 or Friends and they bring like their 13-year-old daughter. And I'm like,
Who the hell brings their 13-year-old to a comedy club?
Occasionally people bring their kids and I always feel like, oh, you're going to have a couple kitchen table conferences after this show.
We'll take ourselves a break. Improv.com is where you go. Good to see you, Aisha.
It's a pleasure.
Joel McHale is here. Also, Lisa Loeb is here. I think we're going to do Lisa Loeb next, and then we'll do Joel McHale on the Adam Carolla Show. Good times. Great to see you, Lisa.
Hi.
What's your guitar player's name? Oh, wait a minute.
You are your guitar player.
I saw a guy playing your guitar. Maybe he was a guitar tech, or maybe he brought your guitar.
He's a sound engineer.
I saw him out of the corner of my eye, and then I didn't look up again.
Yeah, this is very early, so he was helping me out with my guitar.
But you're playing your own guitar.
I am playing my guitar. I'm just holding it.
You're not one of these posers that comes in here and has a guitar player.
Right. Mm-mm.
And then does the singing. You do both, baby doll.
Yes, I do. Yes.
And we'll talk about the album, and we'll talk about you. Now, are you doing your show anymore that I enjoyed so much to your single show?
You're talking about number one single?
No, I'm not doing my reality show anymore.
Why not? I love that show.
I did not need cameras following me around anymore. No, you know, it's a lot of work doing a reality show. I was one of the producers, and so we were shooting all the time and then editing late at night and having meetings early in the morning, and it was just time to move on.
Plus, I imagine it's a weird thing for your love life.
It is a little bit, because when you're dating on camera, I was also dating off camera, you know, because I wasn't shooting every moment of my life when we did that show. That would have been totally crazy. But
do you have a man now? Have you met a man?
I do.
You seem happy.
Yeah, you do.
You're glowing.
Oh.
You're beaming.
How did you meet this guy, Lisa?
We met on a business meeting, actually. We met on a business meeting.
He's in the record industry?
No, he's not in the record industry.
TV?
Kind of.
Mm-hmm. Hollywood type?
No.
I don't trust him.
No.
You're too good for him.
Yeah. He's not a Hollywood type. You know, Los Angeles is weird, though. I've been traveling a lot lately. I've been spending a lot of time in New York. And I've been in El Paso and Phoenix and Boston and D.C. and just traveling all over the place, playing music. And coming back to L.A. is so weird. It's like that weird movie where the mannequin comes alive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, in the shopping mall.
Yeah.
That's what Los Angeles kind of reminds me of.
Really? Everyone's beautiful.
It's so beautiful.
Beautiful and plastic.
Yeah, and there's like, it's just the most bizarre place. You know, it's like 2 degrees in other cities and you get here and it's generally 65 degrees. Mm-hmm. It's the most bizarre thing.
Is
seriously.
This the theme from the movie Mannequin?
No way.
Of course it is.
This is the one where the guy falls in love with the mannequin.
Jim Cattrall.
Yeah.
A lot of insights into the male mind.
Wow.
Right. It's our ultimate fantasy. You wake up at night, we have sex with you in a montage sequence in a sporting goods department or department store, and then you go to bed.
Right.
And you just freeze, and we never have to hear from you until that night when we get horny again.
Well, Lisa, you've got a new album.
I do.
A reissue of some of your first recordings.
Yes. It is called The Purple Tape, because originally it was just on cassette tape from back in the days of yore. You know, when we had cassette tapes and musicians made cassettes instead of CDs. And it just came out again as a CD finally. My fans kept asking me to put it out as a CD.
Because you were playing in coffee shops all over New York and selling the purple tape.
Yeah, I had a band in New York and I was also playing acoustically. We used to play at all these clubs. I don't know if anybody knows New York City out there, but like CBGB's and the Bitter End.
Wetlands.
And the Wetlands, exactly, all these different clubs. And I had to make, I wanted to make a recording that I could sell at shows. And I just split up with another band, and I wanted to, like, do this thing so I could sell it, give it to record label people and whatnot.
Well, how did that happen for you? You grew up where?
I grew up in Dallas, Texas.
And by the way, Lisa might have some insight on gas because her dad's a gastroenterologist.
Yes, I can tell you anything, whatever you need to know.
Well, as I've said to Drew many times, you know, everyone always says what they eat affects them, yet I eat the same thing everyone else ate at the writer's table at Kimmel, and I didn't have half the gas that Jimmy and his cousin Sal had. So Drew would say the flora and fauna is different. The bacteria is different in everyone's gut.
It is. Even, I think culturally and you know, people from different places, they have abilities to digest food.
Who has the worst gas?
The Jews.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just made that.
They say stinking Jew, T.
No, but I mean,
we're not being pejorative.
I thought it's because
we're being realistic.
Okay.
Oh,
no,
we do say greedy. Yeah, sorry.
You know, maybe we don't have the worst gas. Maybe we just explain it to everybody.
Oh, you're
else.
A Jew.
We discuss it. Yes, I can't
yeah,
say what it is.
Yeah, but you know
yeah.
what?
I'm
you know
a Jew,
what? Lisa,
yes,
you're one of the good ones.
One of the good
Lisa,
ones.
Lisa, you're talking
Lord.
Ashkenazi, not Sephardic.
Right, I think, yeah exactly.
That's what I figured.
It's true. I mean, come on.
So, Lisa, again, she's a North American domesticated Jew, so we have nothing to fear.
Not one of the wily Israeli variety.
Right,
I have two short hair cats.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, I just thought I would talk about my cats now.
What are their names, Lisa?
Sweetie McGee and Chinchy Morty. That's like, you don't even want to know.
So you move from Texas.
Oh, yeah, so I moved from Dallas, Texas.
At
to,
what age?
I went to college. I went to Brown University up in Providence, Rhode Island.
Wow.
When I was 17 or 18.
Mm-hmm.
I went to college for 4 years and then moved to New York City. And, yeah, so I was playing music all
the time. Brown's an Ivy League school, isn't it?
It is.
And so that's a really good college.
Yeah.
And so you're studying what at Brown?
I was supposedly studying comparative literature and Spanish literature.
Mm-hmm.
But I was spending, I think, most of my time making music and in the music department and in the recording studio and in the theater department. But mm-hmm. I was trying to get, like, something that was a liberal arts degree that sounded like a real, you know, it sounded good. I think I wasn't ready to go to college. I think I was burnt out from high school.
So
but anyway, it was really fun. It was a great experience.
I mean, it's kind of weird that, you know, they always talk about the background sort of getting in the way. Like, they talk about the student who parents didn't go to college, broken family, didn't have the money, didn't stress education, probably could have been a college material. But in a way, this is the exact opposite.
Right.
You come from a lot of really educated people. You went to an Ivy League school, and we almost didn't have Lisa Loeb because there was too much education in your background.
Wow. That's deep.
We dodged a bullet.
Was there anything else you ever wanted to do career-wise?
I think there were a lot of things. Like, I think I wanted to be a ballet dancer and a doctor when I was then maybe in second grade.
Combo?
Mm-hmm.
Which is interesting because my mother studied dance and my dad was a doctor. So there.
You didn't want to be a veterinarian?
No, I didn't want to be a veterinarian.
Wow. First chick I've ever met who didn't want to be
no,
a veterinarian
no,
at some
horses
stage.
Really scare me. Yeah, I don't. I mean, really? Horses are fine, but.
You can work on other animals.
I know, but, you know, and dogs kind of scare me.
But
too.
You like cats?
I love cats. I don't want dogs to scare me, but they kind of do.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say, I wish they didn't. That's so not cool.
You're a cat person?
I am a cat person. But, like, one or two cats, not, like, seven cats.
That's the max right. Adam's like, allowing me is to have two.
Yeah, mm-hmm. two is plenty.
I'm a guy who likes cats. I'm
That's
cool
good.
With cats.
That's good.
It is. I look at it as secure.
Yeah, you had
do you
Norman.
Like The Cure also?
It's always weird. It's always weird when people do that thing where they go, I don't like cats. Cat doesn't wait. You know, when I show up, it's not happy to see me. It doesn't
right.
greet me. What do you need your pet to do? Tell you you're not fat? Hey, did you get a haircut? You're looking good, boss. You want your slippers? It's a pet, you idiot. How much validation do you need from your pet?
Here's I'd like to, yeah.
But the idea of pet, the name is right in it. You just pet it. It lays there and you pet it. That's why they call it a pet.
Noun and a verb.
People do that thing like, my dog's happy to see me. My dog thinks I'm number one. My dog thinks, okay, your dog. Everyone else thinks you're a loser. Really?
So I should give up my efforts to train Finster to tell me I'm not fat?
Yes. Right.
Does this cat make me look fat?
Tap your paw twice, Finster, if mommy hasn't put on any weight over the holidays. Good girl. Here's your giblet treat.
What, Finster? I said tap twice your paw.
Sad. Lisa?
Yes.
You got a song to play for us?
I do. I'm going
to
play a song that's on the purple tape.
Mm-hmm.
I will probably be playing this tonight. But this is a song. It's about being shy, and it's an old song.
Now, this goes way back to the days when you're playing the coffee shop.
Yeah. Exactly. That's how she was discovered.
Before the record deals.
Yeah, this is a song called Guessing Game. I could be trembling when I talk to you, and I could be making up all sorts of things that are not true. And I could tell a half-truth, but I cannot tell a lie. I could tell a story that is 10 feet high. Oh, oh, my stomach flutters and I feel sometimes ashamed. I'm a castle with broken shutters, and this is not a guessing game. My stomach flutters, and I feel sometimes ashamed. I'm a castle with broken shutters, and this is not a guessing game. Oh, I could make a plea so that you and I could be we. And I could say, oh, it's a must that you and I should be us. And all the answers I would guess, and you would be so, so impressed. But I would never get a yes, 'cause I have not the guts to guess. Guess. Sometimes ashamed. I'm a castle with broken shutters, and this is not a guessing game. My stomach flutters and I feel sometimes ashamed. I'm a castle with broken shutters, and this is not a guessing game. I could be listening, but this is not a guessing game. I guess all the answers, but this is not the same. I could be trembling, oh, I could be ashamed. I could be wallowing, wallowing when y'all think I got it made.
Lisa Loeb, everybody.
That was beautiful. Thank you. It was.
Oh, it must be nice to be you.
I was just thinking that. So talented.
Oh, you guys.
So cute.
This
and
is
talented.
Wait. Check this out. I brought these to this. I found this in my guitar case. It is a collage. Talking about montages, it's a collage that somebody brought. When you get to be a musician, you get to go to record stores and play and do autograph signings, which I used to go to when I was a kid. I was a huge music fan, and I would like go see Flock of Seagulls, and we'd make them a cake, and
you'd show up.
People bring you collages of pictures of yourself.
And by the
way, I found these in my guitar case.
By the way, pass those over here, please.
Just, you know, if you want to, it's pretty hilarious. What people will bring you sometimes.
Wow.
You can bring Lisa Loeb stuff tonight because she's going to be playing at Barnes & Noble at the Grove.
I was about to say that. Bring her some cookies.
Oh.
And a collage.
You know what I got to say about the cookies, you know? You're not allowed to eat cookies and stuff that people bring you.
Oh, really?
You don't know what's in it.
I did a radio show for 10 years. Crap would show up in the mail in foil.
And
me and Drew would eat it every night. Yeah, that's right. From Minnesota in a dented box, loosely wrapped in foil, and we would eat it.
Packed in actual popcorn.
Yes.
Yeah.
Lisa Loeb, by the way, yes, tonight, Barnes & Noble at the Grove, 7 o'clock, and then tomorrow night at the Borders in Torrance. So bring a collage of very flattering pictures. Not that she's not beautiful, but whoever made this picked out some real zingers. I mean, this is fantastic.
I'm gonna keep this. Does this cat make me look fat?
Lisa Loeb, the album is The Purple Tape.
The Purple Tape.
It is out as we speak. You've been wanting it. Well, now she's giving it to you. John Elway is coming up. Really the same person as Lisa Loeb.
Very similar.
And Joel McHale from The Soup as well, next on The Adam Carolla Show.
The Adam Carolla Show.
Elway at the nifty back though, runs a quarterback draw, lunges to the goal line. He is in.
Can you say Denver is in the lead?
John Elway on target to be the game's most valuable player.
This one's for John.
The most valuable player of Super Bowl 33 is a unanimous choice. The winner, number 7, Denver quarterback.
Especially when you get to the Super Bowl. One guy is not going to win a Super Bowl. The best teams win the Super Bowl.
And now, John Elway is on the Adam Carolla Show.
I have some very disappointing news for your people. John Elway will not be on the phone for another 3 minutes. Instead, we have Joel McHale.
Hey, everybody!
Joel played some football?
Yeah, I walked on it.
UW.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You want to hear some stories about that?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I was on scout offense, you guys.
Wow!
And what we do, that's where you're so bad on the team that they don't want you practicing with the normal offense because you don't have a chance of getting in a game. So you run the plays of the other team, and you learn those plays because the coaches have written the plays on a big poster board, and he holds them up.
Mm-hmm.
And I was the tight end, and it just would say, all right, you want to just do a little fade across the top and get your head taken off.
You need to simulate the other team's offense so the defense can practice and not hurt any of the important players on your offense.
Right.
Think, you know what, though? Think like Rudy. Think like an unfunny Rudy.
Okay.
That's how I would think of Joel McHale.
Right.
An unfunny Rudy.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I would crack a lot of jokes that people would just stare at me. And then eventually they became pretty angry.
But Joel, Rudy did see action in one game. Did you ever see any action?
In a spring scrimmage.
Suited up for the Rose Bowl, though, yes?
Sure.
Well, did you not?
Yeah, we came down and all that, but there wasn't a chance of me getting on the field.
Oh, sad. But either way.
They forgot my helmet and shoes, have you tried playing football without a helmet or shoes?
No, you need them both.
Because the last time I did that was second grade, and there's a lot more weight being thrown around, a lot more speed, and it's dangerous.
And you would try some of your comedy bits in the locker room?
All the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and at that point, I mean, that was in the early 90s, so.
Joel played in the Pac-10, and if you were scout offense as a tight end, did you have to emulate Tony Gonzalez from Cal? Was he there at the same time as you? That would be quite a feat.
I tried. I made my name Latino sounding. That was as close as it got.
Well, yeah. Joel, you landed on your feet. Maybe you didn't make it into the NFL, but you made it onto basic cable.
Yeah.
And one would argue
that's like saying I made it to a needle exchange.
Hey, good news, everyone. John Elway.
Oh, I got more stories, Adam.
Who's talking? So is somebody talking?
One time. I don't think so. Is that Brian?
Yeah, John Elway. Oh, all right. Teddy, don't write John Elway and then 5 minutes later write not yet. And the next thing. Go ahead, Teddy. No one can hear you.
They're rumbling the phone and I can't get him.
All right, but here's the point. Write John Elway when you have John Elway. You know what I mean?
We're going to break down. I got to fire.
What if he
calls?
It's like you don't walk into a room of guys sitting around watching TV and yell, who's hungry? And then they all raise their hand and you go, well, that makes five of us. You have to have something in the oven.
I think he's on the
line. Well, he's ready now.
Oh, okay.
Who screens these calls?
All right.
He wrote down Steve Young?
John Elway?
Good morning.
Good morning, John Elway. This is Adam Carolla.
How are you?
Joel McHale from a little show known as The Soup on E! Is here, as well as a beautiful Teresa Strasser. Thank you for being on the show.
Oh, you bet.
I'm a big fan. You know, I'm from the San Fernando Valley.
Nice.
I went to... Thank you for sounding sincere. John moved away to Stanford, and then he never came back to the Valley. But I went to North Hollywood High. Now, did you go to Granada?
I did.
And you're probably a couple of years. Now, what year did you graduate Granada? Was it 78, 79?
Yep. 79, yeah.
79. And as our engineer or our sidekick, Bald Brian, was saying, he was saying that you were one of the guys that really delivered on the promise. You were a phenom in high school in both football and baseball. Then you went to Stanford and you delivered, set all kinds of records. And then the Broncos and the same thing. And it's kind of nice, isn't it, sort of delivering all the way through your life?
Well, yeah, it is. You know, I think obviously it's awful nice to be blessed with some talent, but also blessed to be in the right spot at the right time with the right people around you, and whether it be at the right school or the right organization. I've been very fortunate to have landed in a lot of good places.
Well, especially your pro career at Denver was one of these things that is, Hollywood movies are made of, which is you lost your first couple of Super Bowls, and I can't remember what the scores were, but they weren't real close games.
That's a good thing.
And everyone did that sort of thing where there were, maybe like they do with Marino a little bit, which was, here's a great quarterback that's never going to get a ring, because by the time you got your rings, two in a row, you were really at the end of your career, right? The last two seasons you played?
Yeah, it was my 2 years. So, yeah, you're right. It was, I was running out of time. But fortunately, as I said, you know, we was at the right organization and at the right time. And there's so much to that. We had, great people within the organization, and we were able to put the right team together and had the right coach in Mike Shanahan. So everything came together at the right time and just in time.
Would you have retired a year or two earlier if you'd won the big game a year or two earlier?
No, I think that when I retired, it was the perfect time for me to retire, because physically at that point in time, because my last year I'd hurt a hamstring, I'd hurt some ribs, and so it was, my body was starting to break down, it was getting more difficult for me to play week in and week out. So the timing for me, when no matter really what happened, it was the right time for me to retire, and I did.
And it was nice because it's been... Geez, how many years now? Has it been 8 years? How many years?
Been 9 years.
9 years since you retired, and Denver hasn't really been right. I mean, Jake Plummer had a couple of decent seasons, but they've not really found their way since John Elway left, which is how you want it. It's like when you dump a chick. You don't want her to marry some good-looking guy 6 months later.
You want her to be single for a while and then date a jerk.
I don't think
she
wishes ill will on them.
Oh,
though.
Yes.
I think everybody says they want good, but I think you're right.
No, he was happy to see the Granada Hills team go 500 a year after he left. He's committed to it.
Pop Warner team has not
been the same since.
No,
I was going to ask you, John. You were talking about your body breaking down. You always hear about NFL players' bodies kind of falling apart after they retire. Is your body all right?
It's doing okay. I mean, it's, obviously when you go through that and played 16 years and got sacked plenty of times, there's always, repercussions later on as you go into life. And so, I'm ahead of the aging process, and I guess for most 47 years old, but for the most part, in pretty good shape.
Well, do you ever think that if you'd gone the baseball route, because you're quite a phenom in baseball as well, as a matter of fact, I think you were drafted by the Yankees, if you'd went the baseball route, you'd be 300 pounds, but you could still be pitching at 47.
That's true. I really enjoy playing baseball, but I mean, I love the quarterback position and love playing football, so it's really never entered my mind that I should have gone baseball. But I do think about whether I could have had a career in baseball or not, even though I spent a lot more time in football. I enjoyed baseball.
And what about this weekend's big game? What are your thoughts on it?
I think that, obviously the Giants have been playing great football, winning three tough games on the road, and they come into this one playing their best football of the year. Eli Manning's playing his best football of his career. I just think that the Patriots have just got probably too much, and what they've gone through to get to 18-0, I just don't think that they're going to get this far and let it slip away. They're a team that has great talent but also plays such smart football and intelligent football that, I just think they just got too much for the Giants.
And they have Satan on their side as well. I mean, let's be honest. It's almost...
Yeah, they thank Satan after the game.
They kill a goat in their locker room before they hit the field. That's what the red is on their uniform. Look, John, I don't know if you feel this way, but here's how I feel, and I've said it before. I feel like I'm watching a movie, and I know how the ending is going to turn out. And even though people are saying, oh, what if the bad guys get Bruce Willis? I know he's going to prevail at the end. I know that this script has been written. I know the Patriots are going to win this one.
But don't you think the movie script would be the Patriots lose?
Well, not the movie I'm watching.
John,
if I lived in New York.
Of that?
I think that's the same way as you're saying. That's like Bruce Willis getting killed.
It's just not going to happen.
I agree.
And the sad part is it might be a good movie, and we might think halfway in the fourth quarter, is the unthinkable going to happen? But something will happen. It started with the Tuck rule.
But didn't you want Bruce Willis to die at the end of Die Hard 3?
Yes.
And then that would have stopped Die Hard 4.
I wanted him to die at the middle of Die Hard 4.
I see.
So I didn't have to watch the last 45 minutes of it. That movie stunk. Hey, Elway, so you now here's the deal. What are they, about a 12-point favorite?
Yeah, I think that's what they are.
Yeah, so the real question is...
What's happening in John Elway's house?
No, he's taking off...
He took a helicopter to his bathroom.
Right now.
Wow.
There's a SWAT team breaking into his house.
John has been running drugs in from Mexico and footballs for years now. That's how he moves
them.
They
never checked
them.
John Elway's football for drugs?
The drug lords in Mexico use his arm to throw the ball over the border.
Nice.
Throw it about 4 miles.
Oh, John, I hope it's a close game. And I hope it's one of those games like when you guys beat the favorite Green Bay Packers back in Super Bowl. I think that was 32.
Yeah, it was.
There was Brett Favre, and they had won, I think, the year before, and everyone had them as a heavy favorite. And I know you're not supposed to focus on this, but the Green Bay must have been a nice touchdown favorite on you guys, yes?
They were actually 12 to 13 point favorite on us. And like you said, they were defending champions, and so they didn't give us too much of a chance, but we were able to. Again, we kind of went to the play. We got there by winning on the road, the playoff games on the road through Kansas City and Pittsburgh. And so a lot of it kind of looked like what the Giants have been through this year. And so I think that those comparisons are all good, and we'll see, because we won goes to show that, the Giants do have a chance.
Right. And, again, a lot of similarities in that game as coming up on Sunday. Hey, John, I don't want to let you go without giving you a nice plug for MasterCard and Sam's Club. How does that work?
Well, I'm actually out here and just trying to talk to people and let people know that Sam's Club, with the big game coming up and all the parties and the tailgates and everything, that they can go to Sam's and really kind of get everything that they need, from a 15-inch plasma TV to the steaks, to the guacamole and chips that everybody has during these parties.
And also,
the value that they get at Sam's Clubs, and that they, at Sam's Clubs doesn't take all credit cards, but they do take MasterCard. Nice.
Nice. He got all that in. That was perfect.
Yeah,
so, John, what I would normally do on Super Bowl Sunday is go to one liquor store and buy one beer, and then go to another liquor store and buy a second beer, and eventually I'd go to six, and I'd get a six-pack, and then I'd go to Mexico and get some guacamole.
And then a football full of cocaine.
Then I'd head into Asia and get myself a big screen television. But you're saying we go to Sam's Club, we get it all under one roof.
It's one-stop shopping right there at Sam's Club.
Well, John, if you ever feel like slumming it and you come back to the valley.
All right. Nice.
There's a bunk open for you, my brother.
I appreciate it. They're actually going to, maybe back in the middle of February, they are renaming the stadium there for Daryl Strohl. I don't know if you remember that name or not, but was a baseball coach, longtime baseball coach there at Granada.
Over Granada, and you're going to come back when they rename it?
Yep, thinking about coming back.
And insist they call it John Elway Stadium?
No.
Please get drunk and do that.
Who's ever heard of What's-His-Face?
Yeah.
Yeah, hey, What's-His-Nose is in the ground.
So he coached a bunch of losers and then me.
You bury him under the mound, but let me tell you who's living and who's in the Hall of Fame. Come on, John, it'll be fun.
Adam, you know that...
All right.
John, do you still control all the cars in Denver? Do you own every one of them?
Turned over some of that control.
All right.
He let one guy have 10% of Kia.
Oh, that was nice.
All right, John, great speaking to you. Have fun this weekend.
Thank you. You take care.
Good times, John Elway.
But was he all Valley? Like some people?
Oh, I should have brought that up.
Oh.
I am guessing that John was all City, whereas I was just all Valley.
Is there all State?
I don't. For some reason...
Recruiting services do it.
Don't know if we had All-State. All-Valley was an official thing. They put it in the newspaper, and they'd give you a plaque. They give you a piece of paper that they assumed you would make into a plaque and not use as a coaster. That's why I don't have mine anymore. But
hell yeah.
Elway probably got All-City. That's as high as I knew we did. Hey, Joel McHale, everybody, is here. Hey, Joel, last time you were in here, you brought your drops, but you also brought my dad's mouthpiece to his trumpet.
Well, that's the way you guys communicate.
That's right. My dad, he likes playing the trumpet. He's not so crazy about conversation.
Right. Well, Mr. Carolla, speaking of your son Adam going all Valley, you must have been so excited when he made the All Valley football team. What did you do with the certificate? Did you frame it?
Yeah, but Dad, I just assumed that, you know, you'd at least put it on the refrigerator with a magnet or something. Oh, I remember bringing it up very clearly. It was in the newspaper, Dad. I mean, you couldn't miss it. No, I'm not high.
Aren't you proud?
Okay, well now I'm getting angry. Now I'm this close to tossing you out of my studio. All right, maybe I'm no John Elway, but I still play some decent ball.
Your dad's apoplectic.
That's a lot stored up for son.
Let's go to break. This is too much.
Let's take a break. My dad is mouthpiece, Joel McHale, and his clips are all be back next.
Right now on the Adam Carolla Show.
Hey, don't try funny.
TV talk.
What would you say to other kids who were thinking of partying when their parents are out of town?
Get me to do it for you.
Get you to do it for you. Not don't do
it. Best party ever so far. That's what everyone's been saying, so.
Well, we've got to go, but I suggest you go away and take a good, long, hard look at yourself.
With the Soup's Joel McHale.
I have. Everyone has. They love it.
On the Adam Carolla Show.
Long and hard should never be the way you look at yourself in a mirror. Hey, yeah. Joel McHale in here from The Soup.
Yeah.
Best show on television, so says that billboard I pass on the way home.
Nice.
Every day.
Yeah, that is a quote from a friend of mine.
Well,
that
he's
they put up there.
Evidently a very good friend if he's willing to lie for you.
What?
Joel McHale, everybody, from The Soup.
Yeah.
You brought your clips,
I did. Let's get right to it.
All right.
Teresa's former employer...
Mm-hmm.
TMZ
ran,
you know, it's football week, so why not run some derogatory, horrible things about Eli Manning's fiance?
Oh.
Great.
Comparing them to Tom Brady's model girlfriends. Go ahead.
And there's the New York Giants, Elisha Nelson Manning. He's kind of handsome. If you keep your eyes closed and picture Tom Brady, who's so good-looking that he recently dumped one of the hottest women on the planet, Bridget Moynihan, for the hottest woman on the planet, Gisele Bündchen. Well, Eli's taken too, Tom. He's engaged to his college sweetheart, Abby McGrew. She's pretty freaking hot, if you've never seen Gisele Bündchen before.
Harvey's really doing the Lord's work.
And you wonder why I quit.
By the way,
jeez,
can he weigh in on women?
Harvey?
Yes. I don't know if he's qualified to do that.
No comment.
He's gay!
Let me say this.
Very smart man.
I was watching...
I am a gay American.
I'm scared he's going to have me
killed.
So
was Stalin. I was watching the...
Gay sniper.
I was watching the show last night.
I hate gay people.
Because I just...
Hardaway.
I like to look at how black his hair is and how orange his skin is. And you can barely see his horns the way he combs his hair.
That's why he doesn't
really?
Like that.
And I was watching the show and... I love it when TMZ takes things completely out of context and then runs with it. There's nothing worse. It drives me nuts. It's like, remember when Faith Hill did that thing a few years ago where she didn't win Country Singer of the Year and she did that, oh, doggone it, drats, and everyone went, Faith Hill has a pitches a tirade because she didn't win a trophy. No, she was acting.
Yeah.
She had a sense of humor. They had this thing where Rebecca Romaine, they had a picture of Rebecca Romaine, and she was holding one of those digital picture frames where there's a picture, like a, you can put a picture of yourself in it or your family in it, and it's like digitally displayed.
Sure.
She had this big one. It's a picture of her laughing and leaning against her car and holding this thing in, which was plugged into her cigarette lighter. Clearly, like, having a goof. And the guy does a thing where he's like, hey, boss. Hey, devil man. Hey, devil. Hey. Hey, boss man, guess who I... We got a picture of her, and she is so pompous, and she's so needy that she had to take pictures of herself and show it to people as if Rebecca Romijn doesn't do a spread in every third magazine every 20 minutes. She's a funny girl. She's got a good sense of humor. Hey, boss, look at her. And Harvey gives that super condescending... Ugh, so sad. That super condescending, sad look. Like, they do the reaction shot to Harvey, so he's like, boss... Rebecca Romijn is so pompous and so arrogant and so needy that she needs to travel around with electronic picture frame with herself in the picture. And Harvey gives that. Oh, man.
Does he take a sip off his iced coffee?
Takes a sip off the iced coffee.
Seconds before he was cackling about Lindsay Lohan's drug use.
Right.
Just like
about how it's funny.
Yeah. Just seconds before.
I know. It's so pathetic. So pathetic.
All right.
But
well,
I watch every night.
Yeah.
Right.
Entertainment, and you got a t-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Entertainment Tonight.
Oh, let me ask you this quickly.
Yes.
Sorry to interrupt.
Can I say this quickly?
Yeah.
Are people scared to call Harvey Levin a douchebag because they think he's going to dig through their garbage make them look bad?
Dude, be careful.
He's very powerful. I mean, a lot of people use TMZ, and I mean other news sources.
He does seem like a world-class douchebag, though, doesn't he?
I wouldn't look to TMZ as my moral compass.
Okay.
But if I wanted entertainment news.
It seems if you're that.
But
if you're
entertainment
him,
pictures of Rebecca Romijn who are being funny and poking fun at themselves and we interpret it in a little different way.
Sometimes their take is.
Everything gets
confused.
Spun in an insulting way.
If you're Harvey or you're like Perez Hilton.
I'm gay.
And you. Criticize these or you do stuff like that, I would get worried for the psycho fans of Rebecca Romijn that would be be insulted and incensed by that and go try and kill him.
Uh-huh.
That's what I would be worried about because they all have, like, Rebecca Romijn probably has psychotic fans that mail their pubic hair to her and all that.
Right.
And would be like,
prison.
How dare you
one
say that?
One time and it was a joke. Continue.
I thought it was your head hair.
Same hair.
Okay.
I was sent a pubic hair one time from jail.
You were?
The guy taped it right on the letter.
Good times.
I have fan.
Clarence
when
Thomas
does he get
gets
out?
Around.
Incarcerated. No, I was going to ask
got
you
got it off my coke can.
Speaking of, I feel weird taking, like, being on the high horse about TMZ because I do consume some of that kind of news. And
I watch
enjoy
it all the time.
So I really can't. I didn't want to make it. I felt uncomfortable, but I feel like a hypocrite saying I don't read it because I do. But here's my question. Somebody said that they thought I was spoofed on your show, that they did a fake TMZ. And
we've done that twice.
A girl going, I went to journalism school. I want to kill myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had that. But that wasn't a parody of you.
Oh, good.
Because at that point, I didn't remember you. And that was 3 weeks
last
ago.
Last week.
We did a thing where, we just had a fake session. Their little throwing
morning
out the...
Morning meeting.
Yeah.
So,
and, anyway.
So Eli Manning's girlfriend from college, who married, is
this
ugly.
This poor woman who is not famous.
She's not a supermodel.
They're just,
from Mississippi.
Like, she's not a model, so she's a dog. She's a cow.
So he just married a good mother.
Yeah.
Oh, that's tragic.
Just like a really nice,
so
what
a sad. Loser.
So sad.
Not jumping from model to model. Okay, let's talk about Adnan.
Mm-hmm.
Because
Dalib.
He seemed to have given a 6 or 7 hour interview to E.T., and they're, delving it out over.
By the way, E.T. is turning into TMZ.
Yeah,
they're no better.
It's funny. So just, he's answering for Britney.
Mm-hmm.
Why does Britney talk in a British accent?
It's no different than you deciding you're going to wear your hair up or down.
Right.
Sure.
So it's good she has normal people around her helping her out.
Exactly the same as the way you wear your hair.
Yeah.
So if you wore your hair in a bun, that would be with a Cockney accent. But if you wore your hair down, that would be in more of a Texas draw or Southern draw.
And a French braid, weirdly, is an Italian accent.
That's
interesting.
Yeah.
Did not know that.
So he's
a genius, this guy.
Yeah. And Paul Bryan was in a fraternity with him.
Yeah.
So you've seen him naked, right?
Who else is she going to meet besides a paparazzo?
Mm-hmm.
All she sees.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You have a choice now, Adam.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to hear Cheaters or Tyra?
Oh, let's see. Cheaters, Tyra, Cheaters. Tyra!
All right. As you know, Barack Obama's popularity soared after he appeared on Oprah.
Mm-hmm.
And after John Edwards appeared on Tyra, he dropped out of the race. So,
and he's got herpes.
This is, I think, part of the reason.
You're really hot. Have you ever gotten a fake tan? Do they think, Daddy, can you rename the state of Montana, Hannah Montana? How much money do you keep in your wallet? 20?
40. We got a whole hour with the senator.
Yeah.
Are you embarrassed right now?
Yes.
I thought there was a writer's strike.
Yeah.
That Montana thing was pretty good.
Somebody dropped a picket sign and wrote that down. Come on now.
Can you imagine running for president and just like, you're going to go on with a cackling narcissist and she's just going to talk at you for an hour, okay?
Right.
Is it Oprah?
Okay.
I hear that's good if you get an endorsement from Oprah.
True.
Yeah. You go busty, black, narcissist, daytime TV. Thank God it's Tyra. Oh.
He has a look on his face that he just wants to run.
He has that
fight or flight look in his eye. Mm-hmm. Where he doesn't know what to do. It's great.
Good times.
Well, flight, it looks like.
Yeah.
What's next, Joel McHale?
Do you know who Adrienne Curry is?
Yes, I do.
You've met Adrienne Curry.
Yes, I have.
She has a little show on VH1 called My Fair Brady.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Baby. That's the name of the. That's the title of the show.
Is the thesis that they may or may not try to have a baby?
Apparently, I'm not sure, but they're having a lot of sex still.
Mm-hmm.
I know, Adam, when Lynette turned. Her last birthday.
Mm-hmm.
29.
For your last birthday, she got you a pictorial of her naked with another woman, right?
Sure, yeah.
All right, so this is Chris Knight's reaction to that.
So she went out and shot with one of her hot friends, like a
deal or no
whatever.
Deal model.
But doesn't that stuff all just feel cooked and set up by
of
the
course.
Network? I mean, it's not her idea to do this. She doesn't arrange anything.
But then in Playboy, she was with that woman, another woman in Playboy. Mm-hmm.
She was in here.
It is a theme.
Mm-hmm.
So Chris Knight's a little off foot.
All right.
We didn't have sex. We had a professional photo shoot.
Honey, you ask me all the time about having a female join us.
I was thinking of you. What other wife would get their a gift like that?
It's not for me, honey. It's for you.
What?
Christian.
She's a big Three's Company fan. And listen,
Christian? Is that a religion? Now?
Yes, you love Chrissy from Three's Company. Yep. And people, please understand with all these shows, whatever show, whatever your favorite show is, especially in the variety of the human interest,
the reality
show, everything is cooked in the sense that, you know, when you watch even the good ones, even the upscale ones or the network ones, like when Ty Pennington goes, so I called my friend Tim McGraw to come out and put a concert on for the... It's like, you didn't call your friend Tim McGraw to put a concert on
ABC
for the orphans.
ABC offered him $200,000.
ABC's publicist reached out to his publicist at a certain point, told you who the entertainment was going to be on this week's episode. And it's the same thing with these photo shoots and these events, like where they go, so I decided to rent out a skating rink and have a competition to find out who wanted me the most. No, you didn't decide anything. You sat around the house and some segment producer told you what you were going to be doing. I don't mind that, but quit presenting it as I had an idea. I called my friend Ella Fitzgerald. Dead. I told her to get out of the grave.
We dug up Ella Fitzgerald.
Is she alive?
I don't think so.
I dug up the corpse of my dear friend Ella Fitzgerald, and she's going to put a concert on for the town.
At last.
Okay, that was out of James, but
sorry,
close.
Sorry, that's all the same. As I was going to say, though, the difference is Adrienne and Brian and, say, Flava Flav and Bret Michaels, they get lunatics to be on their show.
Yes, they do.
Even though it's still a setup, when you're doing a setup, but the segment producer is talking to a lunatic.
Right.
And they go, so we want you to be in this fake roller derby. And then you get the lunatic to do it. And then it becomes more interesting than, say, normal people.
Right. No, I watch.
Yeah.
I complain, but I watch.
Now, would you like your wife, Joel, to give you a naked pictorial of herself and her hot girlfriend?
I would have to be a 9-way.
I see.
Yeah. Now, do you make it 10?
Well, I'm the photographer.
I see.
So, I see.
Okay. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wearing a wetsuit. It's a thing. Okay. So, do you guys want to... How much time we got?
We got about 5 minutes.
All right. Let's see. Let's hear some cheaters. Cheaters, most popular show out of Houston, is made and produced in Houston. And they catch people on tape cheating. If you say you're worried, you know all about this.
I saw an episode last week where the guy got busted, except for what could be worse than your fiance and your man stepping out on you with another woman. Well, that woman is a dude, and that dude is wearing a wig.
Oh, no.
Yes, not only is your dude... Look, it's one thing. It's one thing, and the chick took the guy back. But now it's one thing to try to talk your man from straying. It's another thing to completely try to reprogram his sexuality.
Yeah.
You know, one of them involves some Bondo and a sanding block, and the other one is a complete redo of the complete teardown of the entire car.
Yeah.
It's a complete rebuild.
Yeah.
If you got a guy, and that guy says, you know, I'm going to cheat on you, except for I'm not going to cheat on you with a woman. I'm going to cheat on you with a man who's dressed as a woman. Can you ever really feel secure that he's into you again?
You think like a year from now, you're sitting in bed together and you're just like, honey, do you remember when you cheated on me with that tranny? It just is like a weird...
Yeah, I have vague memories of you getting in a fist fight with her at a bar and her wig coming off.
Do you remember how it was all filmed?
Yeah.
In Houston?
Mm-hmm. That's right. We're the best show out of Houston.
It's still a little weird for me.
Okay. Well, how about you get over it?
This woman is claiming she did not cheat, and she's got a pretty good argument.
He does this all the time. You are not the only one he slept with in the last 2 months that I know of.
He ain't slept with me yet.
So you say.
Well, so I know. It's my vagina, and I think I know what goes in and out of my vagina.
Oh my God.
You can end with in, by the way. We'll do the out math. Seeing how you two aren't connected right now, like a dog we have to turn a hose to.
Oh.
She knows her vagina. And I think I know everything that goes into my vagina.
But doesn't this make the movie Waitress seem more realistic?
Actually, it probably does. Bake me a pie to put in my vagina.
I know what goes in and out of my pie.
I think vagina's a new show on CMT.
Angry penis pie. Angry cheater penis pie.
That's what you're naming this pie?
That's right. Don't get me started on the fudge pie.
You put some banana and some fudge?
Do not get me started on what goes
in Dallas.
I like the fact that he puts yet.
Yeah.
Hey, we didn't cheat yet.
Oh, okay.
Come on.
Is this a show where host was actually stabbed?
Yes. The host was stabbed, and there was a new host for a while, and then the old host came back.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes sense because this host, the person who thinks there's cheating going on hires the cheaters people, and they go barge into their hotel room or wherever it is, and this one time they barged into a hotel room. And the guy, the cheating guy freaked out and stabbed him, which makes sense if you bust into someone's hotel room, right?
Yeah, and they tile out the person's face, but everyone the guy works with sees them leaving their work and then getting into that guy's 79 Jeep Cherokee, except for they tile out the plate. But you're the guy who has the lime green Cherokee with the primered right front fender, although we can't read any of the digits. Guess what? I don't know one digit on any of my friends' license plates. I know what their car looks like.
But he said, I ain't signing no release. I didn't do nothing wrong.
I know where I go in and out of.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
One more quick one.
Well, this is the last one.
Well, then good.
I've run through them. You might remember Tanisha from Bad Girls Club.
Oh, she was my favorite bad girl.
I said to Hannah.
Right.
I said to Hannah.
Well, last week's show started with her clay little man being defiled and crushed, and she decided to wake up the whole house and go nuts. Well, the tirade lasted so long that it spilled over into this episode. You're going to hear some of that, and then you're going to hear what the remedy is for her tirades.
Get the f*** up! I didn't get no sleep because of y'all. Y'all not going to get no sleep because of me. It's not over until a fat lady sings. Let me hear you say, wop, 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 wop. I got a problem with all of y'all.
It ain't got
s***
to do with me.
Wop,
it ain't got
s***
with me.
Yes, it do. Yes, it do. Yes, it do. Yes, it do.
Entire show's name.
What's her name?
Tanisha.
Look, I don't want to stereotype, but the Asians.
Right.
They have broken families. There's a lot of violence perpetrated on the young people. people inside the family. Oftentimes, there's no father for the young Asian girls to raise them. People, this is why when you look and you see the female prison populace, you realize it's almost all Asian. I mean, Asian outside of the prison, well, that's what, 8, 10, 12%, but inside, over 50%. Folks, I don't want to be bigoted here, but it's time we took a hard look at the Asians. Okay? I haven't seen this show, but I know an Asian when I hear one.
Adam, I have seen the show.
Mm-hmm.
Denisha is black.
Yep. Huh?
She's black.
Black Korean?
I don't even know what Black Korean is.
I think it's a great jazz pianist. Black Korean.
Spyro Gyra.
He played for Spyro Gyra for a while. He played with Dave Brubeck and Spyro Gyra in the 70s. Black Korea. Are you kidding? Come on, Joel. Don't kid.
No.
I don't kid.
No, her name is Tanisha, and she's black.
Okay. Well, then I owe a heartfelt apology to all the... Are you sure?
I'm sure. After the show,
I want to apologize to all the Asians in prison, all the Asians from broken families. You know, they don't put an emphasis on education, that group. Oftentimes, the dads just kind of take off. There's a lot of violence in the family. Okay. I apologize. I said it.
Yeah, it was pretty...
Let's move forward.
I wish you wouldn't stereotype, because this is what happens.
It takes an awful lot.
Big man to admit when he's wrong, and I'm that man. All right, we'll take ourselves a break. Joel.
Yes.
You're not going anywhere,
All right.
You?
Well, I'm going to San Francisco in a little while.
He's
going to
be at the Punchline. Are there still tickets available, Joel?
No.
Really?
Oh, sold out.
That's a six-person house.
No, that's
I was
going to
suggest
like
one guy,
months.
Maybe a family member just bought the whole place
out.
No,
the five are comps.
one guy bought a ticket. And he's got it up on eBay. Probably won it at a radio station. Yeah. All right, coming up, we haven't talked much about it. It is our first annual Wing Bowl.
It's a huge deal in Philly.
We're going to meet super fat contestants.
There are so many wings out there right now.
Yes, there are huge piles of wings. You can go to adamcarolla.com.
What did they do with the carcasses of the chickens that are
They're out there. They're just rolling around the barnyard. Oh. We're going to hang out with us, Joel McHale. We'll meet our contestants. We're giving away a flat screen TV. It's good times. We'll do it next.
That is a no-go.
And we're back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Good times. Joel McHale is taking over Teresa's chair.
How about that?
All right.
It still smells like Joel when I get back in there.
If I don't lick it clean first.
How?
Teresa Strasser, I'm not talking about for T, I'm talking about for TJ. My favorite city, my favorite two people. All right. Now, Joel McHale from The Soup, obviously. Teresa Strasser is out in our kitchenette area. T, what are you doing out there?
I'm out here with our four contestants in our first Wing Bowl, Adam, and I know you're psyched because no one loves an eating contest like you do.
It's awesome radio to have fat guys eat wings.
We're going to meet them. Oh, of course, the wings are courtesy of Wing Nuts. Mm-hmm. And the winner gets a 32-inch flat screen TV courtesy of ecos.com. It's a good prize.
Because that will help them work off the 18 pounds of chicken they're about to put into themselves.
We got four guys. You want to meet them?
Yes, I do. Who's number one?
Number one is Ross. He's 37 years old. And Ross, what makes you a good wing eater?
Oh, I just I love the wings, and I'm going to take them all. I'm going to use the Karate Kid spirit and hear the music of You're the Best Around.
And so you'll have that running. Ross will have that running in his head.
And I want to ask, Ross, when was your first heart attack?
He wants to know 19. If you've ever had a heart attack or any sort of health trouble.
Well, I'm training for a marathon right now, so we'll see if that helps. But, you know, it's a little dicey.
Fudge-eating marathon. It's coming up at TGI Fridays.
Okay,
this
let's
weekend.
Meet Kenneth Izawa.
And by the way, Ross is from Santa Monica, California. Nothing says buffalo chicken wings like Santa Monica, California.
I'm pretty sure it's the capital.
When you come here for vacation, you go to Disneyland.
And then you go to Santa Monica for the wings.
Kenneth Izawa is 35. He's from Glendale, another place famous for their wings, I'm sure.
Kenneth is of Asian descent, and I'd like you to apologize for me of that very, very rude stereotype I made during Joel's plugs last
night. Adam is very sorry for everything he said about the Asians.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever been in an eating contest before?
Never.
Never in my life.
Why today?
I didn't even know I was signing up for a meeting contest.
Do you know where you are?
Yeah, most definitely. But the Wing Bowl I thought was some sort of catering party.
He really doesn't know why he's here.
Awesome.
But he's willing to participate anyway. And I must say this. He's not a large man.
No? How much do you weigh?
150,
but neither's Kobayashi.
No. Right, that's a good point.
And that guy can put away the
dogs. Are you familiar with the work of Kobayashi, competitive eating champion?
Kidding is a legend in his land.
You've seen him?
Yes.
You have to apologize to him, too.
Okay.
Now let's meet Theodore. He's from Toluca Lake. He's 48 years old.
You big.
Yeah, hi, Adam. I'm from the Ad Council, and I really congratulate you. I'm very hungry.
Hey, Teddy.
And I look like it.
Teddy.
And, I really love your show.
You're from Toluca Lake. Toluca Lake's a nice part of town. What are you doing here?
What are you doing here this morning?
Well, I'm pretending to eat. I don't eat that much, you know, as you can tell, and I'm ready to go. No dinner last night and no breakfast.
Theodore,
no water.
You got baby
and no sushi rice.
Mm-hmm. Theodore, how long did it take you to recover from bypass surgery?
I'm not even going to pass that along. Theodore, not to be rude, but what are you coming in at these days?
I'm a very light, without water, maybe 380.
380?
Yeah, he's a larger guy. Is there any chance you've been drinking today?
No, not at all.
Not yet. All right.
I wanted to go to the green room and get some beer, but it wasn't here.
T, just let's hope he doesn't eat Kenneth, who only comes in at 150 pounds. So you understand that Teddy's right side weighs more than Kenneth does.
That's right, yeah.
All right, and who's our last contestant?
Raymond Tsang. Am I pronouncing that right?
Yeah.
Raymond Tsang. He's from Alhambra. He's 29 years old.
Mm-hmm. Hey. Raymond, do you know where you are?
Raymond, do you have any idea where you are?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And, Raymond's Asian too, Adam, so go ahead.
I decided to enter the contest.
Now, why do you like Adam Carolla and his show?
I don't know. I've been listening to him since I was in like 8th, 9th grade, and, you know, I just grew up with him.
Looks like an Asian Wayne's World.
So it's one of those things where you just, it's like Elvis with his peanut butter and banana sandwiches. They're not good to you or me, but if you got enough of them early on, you get a taste for them as an adult.
Yeah.
So what we've learned is that Raymond, he heard me early on, and it just kind of got under his skin.
Yeah, and Raymond, do you think you have any advantage
like
over these
herpes.
Other guys when
mm-hmm.
it comes to wing eating?
I don't know. I've never done anything like this, but... You know, I always see, like, Kobayashi on
TV. I wish
or whatever,
athletes
so.
Would say
Let
stuff
Let me get
like this
straight.
Games.
Of the four of you, no one has been in a competitive eating contest previous to today.
No.
Wow.
And you guys do know there's a 40-yard dash right after.
And only
right?
two of the four of you know where you are right now.
I find it refreshing because I wish the same spirit was brought to the ring and the octagon.
And also, Adam, you
so,
like amateur.
You're going up against Randy Couture, Adam. Randy Couture, he's a world champ in
the
cage.
Oh, the dude in the underpants?
Yeah, that guy over there. He's the guy that is staring you down.
What are we doing?
This is a cage match. They're going to put you in a cage.
Huh?
There's going to be 3 5-minute rounds.
Okay. All right.
It's mixed martial arts.
All right, man. I'm going to shoot that dude in the face.
Adam, this is a sport that an amateur can pick up.
He is either going to choke you out or knock you unconscious.
Okay, I'm not comfortable with this choke out thing. How does that work?
He will
look, I just came here to fight. I've never...
All right, well, you're going
to
go in there.
I like to watch it on TV.
Look, you have your record is 20-0.
Hey, dude, that's Joe Rogan over there.
That's Joe Rogan.
Hey, bro, hey, news radio
Don't
in the house.
Say news radio, all right.
What's up?
You have a 20-0 record. You've won 20 of these fights.
Yeah.
It seems surprising that...
You know how I've won?
How?
By not preparing.
Randy Couture is going to tear your head off.
That dude in his underpants over there, he's like on the juice or something, dude. I'm going to have to shoot him twice.
Once again, you cannot bring a gun into the octagon. But
hey, man, you go into your octagon the way you want to go, and I'll go to my octagon the way I want to go.
Okay.
And by the way, when are we going to advance to hectagon or hexagon? Or octa...
You want to change the shape of the ring?
I like to change it to a hexagon.
Five-sided?
Yeah. I don't know. Is it X6? I don't know.
Fellas,
hey, T,
yes.
What's going on?
I just wanted to mention a couple things.
Are the rules?
Here's the thing. We do have an emergency medical technician standing by because apparently in Wing Bowl's past, there have been incidents
mm-hmm.
of choking, etc.
That's mm-hmm. part of the game.
That's what Couture.
Part of the game.
That's what Randy Couture is going to do to me when I go into the hexagon.
The rules are complicated, but let me boil it down. They can't regurgitate. They'll be eliminated.
Mm-hmm.
And in the case of choking, we have an EMT somewhere standing
now,
by.
Now, what's the big guy's name again? Teddy?
Mm-hmm. That's right, Teddy.
He has two stomachs, I understand. So is it all right if he re-chews?
He's chewing cud right now.
Yes, he's chewing. Yeah.
We've checked, and Teddy has only one stomach.
All right.
And in a sense, Adam, as somebody who likes seeing, you know, you like the girl next door type in your porn,
right.
I mean, these aren't professionals.
I'm tired of seeing the polished pretty boy wing eater
right.
guys. You know, the good looking guys.
This is their first
one. This sport
one.
Is totally, it's totally changed.
Coiffed blonde hair, impeccably dressed. Wow. They are showing up with their hairstylist and their
get
publicist.
Out of their town car.
Yeah, I'm tired of those wing eaters. I like an every man's wing eater
I
guy.
I met this one wing eater. He wouldn't let me make eye contact.
Oh, the prima donnas. You know, guys, you know, really, the guy's like Prince.
Yeah.
They show up and they think their wing poop doesn't stink. No, I like a regular Joe who eats some wings for
a
change.
That's how it used to be.
Now, there will be 4 2-minute rounds of wing eating.
Now, and I will say, if you choke, it's part of the game.
4 2-minute rounds. Yeah. Who is the EMT? And by the way, should he be eating wings now? I feel like that's not professional.
This is our EMT. What's your name?
Jason Dante.
All right.
Jason Dante, are you concerned? I mean, is there a reasonable possibility that one of these guys will choke?
I'm more concerned about them stabbing one another with bones and...
Sure. Wait till the weekend. nothing like an EMT double entendre. All right, T.
Yes.
I'll tell you what we'll do. Maybe we should go through the first 2-minute bracket and then we'll take a break. How about we line people up? Now, who's officiating over this? And by the way, aren't we supposed to have a hot chick in a referee shirt?
What the hell do I look like?
Oh.
I'm right here. I can hear you.
A bitter Jew with a microphone. I'm looking. The best.
I would throw something if there wasn't glass.
The best part about all the novelty sports is the hot chick in the referee outfit, except for she's wearing short shorts.
Yeah.
I can make Teddy take his shirt off if you'd like.
Please, or at least tie it up in a knot.
We see some boobs.
All right. So who is officiating over this?
Okay, I think Cahal, who works here at KLSX, is officiating.
Right.
For the and by the way,
it's
we
sanctioned out of
yes.
All right, so it's 2-minute rounds.
Yep,
we'll do the first 2-minute quarter. It is the wing bowl, and whoever polishes off the most wings wins. And somebody's going to count the bones.
Yes, and if you're hungry for some wings after this, you can go to Wing Nuts, which are located in Costa Mesa, Aliso Viejo, and Ontario, amongst other places.
I don't go there for the wings.
Bellingham.
I go there for the wing smoothie.
Oh, yeah, that's good. Do you get a boost?
I get the soy protein boost, the Vitapak, and I always get there. It's good. I hit the drive-thru and I go early.
Now, Adam, you know I'm a vegetarian.
Right.
And there's nothing more disgusting to me than people eating flesh off a bone.
Right. So be
and
prepared
I'm out
to
here.
Gag.
So the EMT might need to worry about me.
All right, let's go and do our first round. Ross is in place. Kenneth is in place. Theodore
is
in place.
He's in two places.
He's in two or three places. Raymond is in place. Shall I? Are the guys poised?
They're all poised and ready to go.
All right, you call it, T.
Okay.
On your marks. Get set. Eat.
Go.
Clog those arteries.
Well, Joe, you want to talk about us while they're doing this?
Yeah.
Teddy
I have some
is
pictures of a
bones.
Ferrari accident I wanted to show you, and I'm not kidding.
Okay, so far, Teddy's got one down.
Mm-hmm.
Raymond on the end. Doing quite well, but Teddy with two.
No, cheating. They're using their hands.
Teddy is coming in at over 300 pounds.
380.
Yes.
380, I believe he said.
And Ross and Kenneth and Raymond are
Ross on
pixies.
His second bone.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, Kenneth Izawa only finishing one now. He is way behind Teddy with three.
Now, are they picked clean?
They looked very picked clean. Teddy's aren't as maybe clean as they could be, but I'll tell you what. Kenneth Izawa, no meat left on that bone. He doesn't look as well as he's laughing.
Mm-hmm.
He's laughing. Chew, don't laugh.
As an
laugh
Emmy,
later.
Teresa Strasser,
yeah.
As an Emmy Award-winning reporter,
yeah.
Did you ever dream that you would climb this mountain?
I mean, I was scared to dream as big as this.
Right. You thought Pulitzer, but you never dreamt.
I'd be covering a wing-eating contest on a radio
right.
show.
You know, I was reading in The New Yorker about this wing-eating contest in Myanmar. And they're so repressed there.
We're at a minute and 11 seconds. We are at a minute and 11 seconds.
Ross is coming up, getting close to Teddy, if not lapping him.
Well, now, who's up thus far?
It looks like Ross has 4 bones. Mm-hmm. Teddy has 5 bones. At the end here, Raymond, 3 bones. Oh, no. I don't know what's going on with Kenneth. He looks like he's having some trouble. He's still on his second bone. Doesn't look well.
Angina pain by anyone right now? Any weird muscle pain in your left arm?
Countdown.
15 seconds, guys.
You can go to AdamCarolla.com and see pictures and videos. Have you ever seen a guy eating a wing before?
9.
I don't think so.
7. 6.
Like a
5.
White tiger.
4. 3. 2. 1. Stop.
Stop eating.
All right. Now, T, that was the first quarter of said wing ball.
First of 9.
As a journalist and a vegetarian, are you ready to vomit in your mouth?
Pretty close.
who looks to be the leader in the clubhouse, T?
It looks like it might be, how many on Teddy's? Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 for Ross.
Mm-hmm.
And what do we got with Teddy? 8.
All right.
Teddy's leading with 8.
One wing away from us.
One wing away, and I got to tell you, both of them are way ahead of the other two.
Teresa, after this, I'm going to an all-you-can-eat radish competition.
Wow.
That you might want to join me on.
I won that last year.
Oh. We're going to take ourselves a break. We'll be back with the rest of the wing ball next.
What's up? This is Joe Rogan. You're listening to Adam Carolla, bitch. That's right. 866-901-ADAM. Talk to him live.
Well, there he is. The aforementioned Joel McHale, or Joel McHale mentioned the Joe Rogan.
You actually mentioned him in our fake interview with you being uninterested in the cage match.
That dude in his underpants is freaking my ass out.
Yeah, he wants to kill you.
Why?
Because you're about to enter the octagon.
I don't know what you're talking about. We got a wing bowl to continue here.
We have sad news. Theodore's heart exploded.
But he's going to carry on. He says he can play through it.
Yeah, Theodore's going to play through. He's actually in the lead, having eaten 8 wings in our first 2-minute round.
Mm-hmm. Well, rub some dirt on it, Theodore. We got to move on here. All right, so we're going into quarter number. Don't call it a round.
Sorry,
it's a quarter.
It's a quarter. You're right. We're going to our second of 4 quarters.
And then after this, Paul Abdul's going to perform with Ryan Seacrest.
And then Tom Petty.
Then we come out. And then we come out into the third quarter. All right. So now we're ready to start the second quarter of our wing ball. This is sponsored by Wing Nuts. And what does the winner win?
A 32-inch flat-screen TV courtesy of ecos.com, your online superstore.
Well, their next of kin should enjoy that. Here we go. Round 2. You ready, T?
I'm ready.
Let's start at 5.
400. 3. 2.
499.
8. They're off and running.
I was handed a page of trivia to keep busy while we watch Fat Guys Eat. Yes. Did you guys know that an orangutan weighs between 110 and 198 pounds?
What?
That's a full-grown male.
Does that have anything to do with anything?
Did you also know that Oakland Raiders defensive tackle Warren Sapp weighs 300 pounds? Although I think he's lost a few pounds.
I think he has, too.
Teddy's on his fourth wing.
Is there
going to
be an orangutan eat-off or something? Is that why you brought up the orangutan?
No, we're talking about how much Teddy weighs.
Teddy weighs
380 pounds.
The Dolomite Mountains are in Italy.
Do you know that an adult male gorilla weighs 310 pounds?
Ross is coming up on him.
Not everybody has to have their wisdom teeth pulled.
Really?
Not everyone. Sometimes some people are born without
them.
Okay,
we got a controversy. Teddy being accused of not getting all the meat off his bone. The ref, Kahala, stepped in and asked him to eat more of the meat. So now Ross is right behind him with 1 minute left.
Does that mean Theodore has to pick up the wings he's already finished?
That's what's happening, yes.
Awesome.
He had to go back and chew all the meat.
Well, it's hard to see all the meat after you've dipped it in frosting.
What's bizarre is contestant Kenneth Izawa only ate 3 wings in the last 2-minute round, and he's only on his 3rd now, and he can't stop laughing.
But he's just here to hang out with me, right?
No, that is Raymond who wanted to meet you.
Raymond's the one who wants to raid me in the parking lot. That's right.
It looks a little nauseous, and is shaking a little bit on his 4th wing of this round.
Well, these proud warriors are giving it all they've got.
Teddy hunched over.
This is going to be kind of a revelation for everyone. These actually aren't wings. They are deep fried gerbils.
Oh.
And
I'm glad they can't hear you.
And now that is, wings are huge.
in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. The gerbil eat-off is huge in Portland, Oregon.
What? The gerbil eat-off
sounds
like...
We've got 9 seconds. Yeah, 8 seconds.
They're feral here.
Seven,
the
feral six,
you could rent.
Five, four, three, two... Done. Okay, we're coming into count.
Who's in the lead, D?
Well, we're coming into count right now.
Who's
how many
alive?
For Russ?
As a female Jewish vegetarian, nobody's more qualified to call the wing-eating game than you, Teresa Strasser.
I don't want to
yes?
say I've had an esteemed journalism career, but this is not actually the first eating contest I've covered.
As a female Jewish vegetarian who grew up in the Bay Area, yeah. nobody, and who went to NYU for yeah. college...
It's like I was born for this.
As a liberal arts major, I feel nobody. As someone who went to work for the San Francisco Chronicle at 22 years of age, I feel that nobody is more qualified to call a wing-eating contest than you. T, am I right?
I was tailor-made for this kind of work.
You probably wish you could drop the headphones and the mic and jump right in, right?
I'm salivating.
All right. Now, here's the problem. We have two more two-minute rounds to go and 41 seconds left in this miserable radio show.
Wow. 41 seconds left in our show. What are we going to do?
I think what we're going to have to do is two things.
A, Adam, this is radio.
Declare a winner.
Based on the current standings?
That's right.
Oh, my gosh. You're never going to believe this.
What happened?
Out of the blue, ahead by one measly little
gerbil
wing, is 37-year-old Santa Monican Ross Prout.
What?
Ross, man.
Woo! And once again, the proud belt
for the hammer
brought home to Santa Monica, where it rightfully belongs.
Congratulations, Ross. I'm sorry, Teddy. You were right there, but Ross took it.
Wow. Thanks so much. It means so much just to be here with you guys. I love you.
Well, Teddy,
just
not only
how
fat,
many he's going to be recognized so much today in Santa Monica.
Mm-hmm.
People are going to be like, That's him. He's on the pier right now. Run. Go talk to him.
There'll be probably a parade. Unclear if every parade in Santa Monica is a gay parade or if they have actual parades over there. Like, does the Veterans Day parade turn into
it?
It's
a gay veteran.
It's technically a gay parade. It's gay veterans.
Yes.
Guys from WW2. So when you say trench, Grandpa, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I get it. All right. We need to take a break. We'll bring the winner in. T, you come back as well, and we'll celebrate the winner of the Wing Bowl next. Well, Ross, you successfully ate 3.5 wings in 20 minutes. Jimmy's cousin Sal does that on weekdays for breakfast in a non-competitive environment.
Wait, Teresa, tell Ross how much the
reigning
national winner.
I think Joey Chestnut ate around 284.
All right.
Yeah, I think I was running with a pretty good crowd in this competition, so I was okay.
All right, so it's like the Special Olympics of wing eating. And by the way, write that down. That would be an awesome event.
Yay! If I could write, I would write it
down. I don't feel like there's enough wet naps in the world to clean up that mess. All right. Well, Ross, hold your head up high, buddy. And again, head back to the Mecca of wing eating, where you'll be heralded as a champion. Santa Monica, California.
Thanks, Adam.
Good times there, Ross. Again, I want to thank the folks over at Wing Nuts for providing all the delectable wings. And T, where else? Ecost.com, because you're getting yourself a 32-inch flat screen plasma television, Ross.
I love it.
Enjoy that. Your life partner is going to be thrilled when you bring that back to your one-bedroom apartment.
Ross and all the other wing eaters on AdamCarolla.com.
Yes, you can. And you can also see Aisha Tyler at the Bray Improv tonight and tomorrow. Lisa Loeb.
Tiger Woods of Ass Games.
That's right. She'll be selling the purple tape in stores now. Joel.
Does this cat make me look fat?
Joel McHale, The Soup, Friday nights, 10 o'clock on E! And where in West Palm Beach?
The Improv. At the end of February. Well, March sometime.
We'll circle that on our calendars.
What a plug I did.
John Elway, use your MasterCard at the Sam's Club. And again, Wing Nuts and Ecos. And go to AdamCarolla.com and you can get tickets to the Playboy Mansion for the Knight Rider party coming up on the 12th.
And Hamster Feed.
Yeah.
That's at the Playboy Mansion
she's going to be in her living room getting loaded on Vicodin and Jameson. So if you want to check that out, just go to her house and look through a bay window. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Teresa Strasser saying, mahalo. I think I know everything that goes Ian's to my vagina.